Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed, 866-901 Adam. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Teresa Strasser, big old bird!
No!
I had a little trouble yesterday.
You too, huh?
Probably nothing to speak of, but I'll do 14 minutes on it anyway. My kids are very different. Sonny's just sort of easy and friendly and sensitive, and then the girl Natalia's wiry, has a mean streak and is smart. And my assistant Jay decided since the kids were Elmo crazy. And I mean, these kids are like young Japanese around Elvis. Just crazy, crazy into Elmo.
Elvis has left the building.
Well, Elmo has not. And my, they can't and won't, and they can't get enough Elmo. And Jay decided it'd be fun to go over to YouTube and show my daughter thousands of pictures and videos of Elmo doing his thing on YouTube, which was great for the few moments it lasted. And then when Daddy put daughter aside and had to go mess around on the computer, she ran back up, scrambled up my leg, sat on my lap, and demanded more YouTube. And when I got up and carried her to the next room, she broke free, ran around, climbed onto the chair and started mashing her hands on the keyboard, yelling for Elmo, more Elmo. Now this computer is no longer the magic porn box for me. It's the magic Elmo box for her. And each time I pulled her off the chair, she struggled, ran back to the chair, started screaming, you know, just sort of, she's, it's weird because the boy, he has things he likes to do, but not with that much passion. She just grabs the edge of the chair and starts going, ma, ma, and just ma. And then you have to get her to your lap, and she's sort of struggling and pushing and bending. And then once she gets there, she starts mashing hands into the keyboard until something that resembles Elmo comes up on the screen.
Will she do the thing where she's trying so hard to pull herself away that if she succeeds, she'll do herself serious damage?
Oh yeah. She does that all the time.
And you're tall.
I'm like, if I dropped you, sweetie pea, we'd get you a stroke cane that had Elmo's head on it. Yes. So she would just constantly just run back and forth, and I realized she's Elmo crazy and now associates the computer with Elmo, and has no problem sitting at the chair alone. I slid the chair up and decided to appease her, and she just mashed her hands in the keyboard. Actually types a little faster than Daddy.
With slightly more accuracy.
Slightly more accuracy. She's 14, or I should say like 16, 17 months old. Insane. So thanks for that, Jay. And it just struck me that I don't know what, that's how I type, but I don't know what you should do. Maybe you should get a screensaver of like a liver.
Yeah.
Or something. You know what I mean? Like everyone does the enticing screensaver. Perhaps there should be screensavers that dissuade.
Yeah, a repellent screensaver.
Yeah, like just a kid's walking around and he sees an abacus as a screensaver.
Right.
Or liver and onions.
Schimmel's video.
Or Schimmel, Robert Schimmel. Was in here, showed us a video that was repugnant. I'd like to talk about it, but I'm thinking about suing him.
There's absolutely no way.
I haven't masturbated in almost 11 hours because
wow.
of that.
Wow.
I didn't watch it because I know what I can take because I was in one of those booths in New York where they have 25 buttons and you hit it like a monkey getting cocaine injections. Mm-hmm. So, but anything can happen. Like it could be porno that you normal, and then animals can show up and weird stuff. And I saw stuff that turned me off. I saw this one thing. I couldn't take a shot for about 2 years.
Wow. You mean in the booth?
Anywhere. I could not.
Yeah, but you
shot
saw
of alcohol.
It. I don't mean shot in the booth, but I mean.
No, I used to drink only shots of
tequila. No, but you saw it from in the booth.
Yes, I saw something so horrifying involving liquids.
I saw something horrifying in one of those New York nudie booth things, too. Not the ones that have the porn movies, but the ones that have the live nudie shows.
Where the middle.
A little thing slides off. Diaper bag.
Oh.
In the back, like. The chick's gear was sort of visible. And again, the outside world has no business within the confines of the porn industry or the porn shop. That little piece of plywood slides to the right. The chick's nude and dancing. And off behind her to the left, you can see sort of, you know, once in a while you go to a guy's cubicle and you see a sack lunch and it bumps you a little bit. Like, well, how good an accountant can you be? You're eating. You think to yourself, I don't know why. There's something personal. It's like you wouldn't want to go to a... If you were sitting down and a cop was talking to you and he's like, we are going to solve the murder of your family, and you saw a lunch, his sack lunch with his name written on it next to him, you'd be like, this guy's no good. I don't know why eating makes you bad at your job.
See, I would think if I saw the cop's name with his name written on his own lunch, I'd think he's never going to figure out I did this.
Right.
That's weird. I was just thinking about that yesterday because I noticed the big producer at TMZ, I've never seen him eat.
Yeah.
He's been there now 4 months. I don't know what he eats or how he fuels himself.
It's a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
He probably just has some sort of plutonium rod that he inserts in his rectum before he leaves. All good executives are powered by rods.
Well, speaking of plutonium rods, my daughter may have been, looking for Elmo.
Harvey Weinstein may have a rod put in his rectum as well, but I don't know who it's attached to. What's that?
My daughter may have been on what, you know, daddy's magic porn box in her room is a computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she may have been looking for Elmo when she came across daddy's magic porn box starring daddy.
Mm.
Are you talking about the pictures yesterday that were all over the world?
Yeah, I called her in advance because she knows who this guy is.
That was smart.
Hates him. Hates Perez.
She hates Perez.
Yeah, because he's... I didn't know this. I didn't know
about
this
guy. She's like, Daddy, that fat chick's mean.
I don't think she knows what he... Oh, she didn't say pink hair. But she told me about him before I knew about him. I've only heard of him on this show. But apparently he'll draw stuff on you.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He draws a penis on people's face.
He drew something else on me a few months ago where I was... I said, Isabella, get in the car. She goes, what? I said, get in the car. She goes, why? I said, because I know where this guy lives and he's going to tell you how sorry he is right now.
She drew something on who?
Me.
On you?
And your daughter was upset.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I said, hop in the car. He's going to go tell you.
She drew a penis? He drew a penis on your
face? He draws stuff that looks like it's...
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I heard he should have drawn a penis on your penis.
I heard that, too, but... I
did not see the picture.
I don't know how interesting this will be to you, and you can stop me whenever you would like. I ended up on the Frosty and Frank and Heidi show yesterday discussing for 20 minutes what nude magazine I could pose for to redeem myself. And it was all funny. We had a wonderful time. Till I got home and got the letter from Jack Silver saying to me immediately after the show to discuss my termination.
No.
After today's show.
Yeah.
You have to meet with the boss.
It'll be hard to do after today's show because he's asking me to fly to Vegas to do a charity event and then fly back tonight. So maybe he'll fire me tomorrow.
The good news is you're fired.
But, he said, we got to follow the rules, dude. And I said, I wrote back. And I said, you know, I'm sorry.
What are the rules?
Well, that's what I asked. I said, you'll have to pardon my confusion because at my bachelor party, there were pictures of naked women, some of who I think may have actually worked here. Because this whole big thing came up. And I said, in the grotto, I was encouraged to be naked and go have sex. And the two things those have in common are, I didn't get paid. And I got paid a lot of money for that one. So is that the problem? Did I made a buck?
I think homoerotica is what Jack Silver has a problem with. I think the likeats is all cool and the sales chicks are all cool, but the dudes.
There were
maybe,
no dudes.
You were the dude.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's talking about.
Naked boobies, no problem.
I don't see how that's possible. We're talking about a naked picture of Danny that was taken at the
Exotic Ball in San Francisco.
Right.
Which, describe that event for people who don't know what it is.
25,000 naked people, mostly if they're wearing anything, it's handcuffs, chains, piercings.
Yeah, it's taking the...
By the way, none of which I am into. And actually, I find most of it repellent, but it was real money, and I need it.
You were hired to host the event.
I'm getting a divorce. I did not get the raise I had anticipated. I need money to feed my family. And they offered me money.
So a nude picture was taken of Danny, and it's all over Perez Hilton. I have not seen it. And now, here's the thing about me. I'm not uptight. But I pride myself on not having morbid curiosity, which is to say, there's certain things I'll determine in advance that I want to see or don't want to see.
Right.
And if I determine that I don't want to see them, then that's how it goes. If you say, would you like to see a guy who works for the Wall Street Journal beheaded? I would say no.
I never saw that either.
And then if you said, well, I have a video of it, I wouldn't change my mind and go, oh, wow, well, let me see it. I just decide in advance. Do I want to see a stripper defecate into a tumbler? No, although I don't have any choice anymore because of Bob Schimmel. But do I want to see Danny Bonaducci? If you just said to me, if you tapped me on the shoulder and said, do you want to see Danny Bonaducci naked? I'd go, no. I wouldn't be weird and like, hey, dude, I don't check out other dudes.
Then don't turn around.
I would probably.
No. If I want to see Danny Bonaducci, I would not turn your head right now.
I would probably just say no. If the answer is no, then the answer is no if someone opens their laptop and says, I now have a picture of fill in the blank, whatever it is. So that's kind of my policy. And I also don't like the rubbernecking that goes on in our society. I don't like that cruel streak we all have where the people get together and they go, you know, Brenda's great and she's a dear friend and I love her to death. And God forbid any of us should lose a husband because that is more tragic than any of us could ever go through. But she has put some weight on. She's put some weight on. Look at her. She really has. God bless her.
God bless
her. She's great. And what happened to Stan and the whole colon cancer thing. And God forbid, we don't know how we would react. Perhaps we would change our diet as well. But God, she's put some weight on.
She can't get to the gym.
She's put some weight on.
Put on some chavvy on.
She's awesome lady. And God forbid, and this should never happen to anybody. And she was there for me after my mother passed. And she was a saint. But she's put weight on. She's put some weight on.
She's gotten thick.
And, you know, when losing a spouse is something you don't wish.
I did not get thick, which is one of the big problems. I need to redeem myself.
I'm just saying I hate that cruel streak we have where everybody wants to make something into something. And did you hear? And as I've said, we're so eager to do it now that you can't kid around. You can't be Faith Hill and look upset that you didn't win a country music award.
Yeah, that was
without
ruined
everyone
her life.
Going, did you see Faith Hill? She's a great artist.
Sore loser.
She's such a sore. She's such a. So we, as a matter of fact, to the point, and this is sort of on Danny's topic, but to the point where things get built up so big now that when I do see them, if it is something I want to see, like, did you see Faith Hill react at the American Music? Oh boy. And then you see it and you go, oh, that was BS.
Yeah.
She was screwing around.
I'd like to say about Danny's photo, I think he looks great in the photo. It's a photograph of a good-looking guy in great shape. And he happens to be naked. I don't really understand what the big deal is.
That's right.
It's just a penis.
I the one,
right. If a co-worker would like to masturbate to it, that's fine. It's a free country.
Right now, when you say it's just a man with a penis, that's what really bugs me.
But you look great in the photos.
Like a man with a penis. I think you can only call that one a peen.
Well, you're jumping up and, you know, stuff is
it's
out of place.
The Flying Zucchini Brothers or whatever it is. I just want to get
picture.
A new magazine and redeem myself.
Let me hit Eric real quick before we go to break. Eric?
Yes, thank you. Love you guys. I actually bought an iPod so I could listen to your show, all of it, all the time.
Thanks man. Eric.
You guys always talk about therapy, how much it helped you guys and stuff like that. I just wondered sort of how you started out on the to know what was right for you guys.
First step, go crazy.
Yeah.
Oh,
you gotta need therapy first.
Yeah.
You mean how to find a therapist or why did we seek therapy?
You guys always talk about how it helped and why you needed it, you know, just parenting and stuff like that. But just where you start, like what the different types are, like with you, with your parents' stuff, how did you choose the background of your therapy?
Well, here's my contention with therapy. I've had a few different ones over the years. I don't really even know if they're good or bad.
Me either.
It doesn't really matter. in a way, it's just the process of doing it to me that's helpful. Now, I suppose if a person was very insightful and very good, that could help. And if they were very bad, that could screw you up. But 95% of therapists are somewhere in between the excellent and the horrible. You will probably get somewhere in the middle somewhere. You will set aside 50 minutes a week or 250 minutes a week if you're Teresa Strasser. And you will sit down and you will address your problems or your issues. That's about it.
Right.
If you could do it at home in front of a plaster of Paris ET with a Prussian helmet that you got from Tijuana, that would work, except where you wouldn't do it.
Right.
You would skip weeks, skip days, skip whatever. It's like a personal trainer. How good is a guy who stands next to you and tells you five more minutes on a treadmill? I don't know. Now, there are guys that are great.
What I do know
is... And there are guys that are horrible, but that won't be your trainer.
If you don't show. That's why when you said you won't go, you're going to owe this guy his $300 whether you go or not.
Right. You have to pay them if you don't go.
Now, I see a psychiatrist when I go. I haven't been in years because eventually I went, okay, you're crazy, but you muddle through just fine. You know, it's a colorful life, but it's mine. And the only thing they ever gave me was lithium, which is a natural salt, which apparently I'm low on. And they check your liver and your blood all the time, and it just seemed like a hassle, so I just stopped. But I would never recommend somebody who's not seek help if even for a moment they thought they needed it.
I thought lithium was for... That was a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. Is that right?
I don't think so. I think that's Prozac and no. that so category
what's
of
lithium
drugs.
Do for
I think
you?
That balances
a natural
out.
Salt. What happened is a lake, and I think it's either in lithium or the lake itself is called Lithium Lake.
Huh.
It's full of this salt. And they found that the people from this area who would bathe in it regularly because it was a hot spring all of a sudden got kind of happy and normal, and their lives went a little bit better,
so
and they invented lithium.
You wouldn't take lithium if you were going to take one of those SSRIs or SRIs or whatever it is?
Believe it or not, the reason if you came to my house you'd think this guy's such a nutbag would be the dead bodies. But aside from them, honestly, seriously, because I fill the prescriptions when the doctor gives them to me and then never take them. And then something will happen a year later, and my wife will insist I go back, so I have another one. So now I have just dozens of bottles, but I don't really take anything.
Mm-hmm.
I've just decided this is my life. This is the way God meant me to live, and I'm pretty cool with it.
I got to get a vacation home in Lake Lithium. Sounds good to
I
me.
Wonder what Eric's
is
problem is
area,
that he wants
way.
To talk to a therapist about. That's
a good decent call, question. Yeah. Hey, Eric.
Yes.
Tell me more about what's your problem?
I've had 2 years of when you used to talk about on Loveline the people full of straw and horsehair kind of people.
Yeah.
I end up dating one of those girls.
You mean they're uncomfortable in their own skin?
Yes. Oh, actually, I'm one of those people too. But she would tell me what a horrible person I was. She ended up having a kid about 6 months into it.
Therapist.
Wait, not your kid.
I found out afterwards it wasn't mine. Like within the first month or so, she actually was the therapist.
Your radar's off.
Bad, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a therapist, not a doctor for sure.
Yeah, just go sit down. Talk to someone. It doesn't really, you know, don't get caught up in talking to the best. Just talk to anybody.
I agree, although I need somebody good, really good. And here's what I did, and I don't know if this helps you, but you know when you see somebody with an excellent haircut, you ask them where they get their hair done? I knew a girl, and she seemed really well-adjusted, and she would mention on occasion things her therapist said, so I just asked for a referral. And that's how I found Sherry.
Yeah, most...
She's changed my life. I love her.
Most wish she'd change ours by fixing you.
I'm a lot better though than I was 2 years ago.
I mean, oh,
I haven't been in years.
I mean, wow.
I only go every other week now.
Really?
Really?
Well, I have three jobs.
Now,
time.
You got the money, but
we'll
you don't have
back.
The time. All right,
I had one.
We need to take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, Huell Hauser visits things on the side of the road. Do we have a tease?
They call me crazy.
You know, when we're traveling around California, we see a lot of things on the side of the road that we don't know anything about. It catches our attention. We kind of pull off to the side and do a little bit of exploration. And that's what this adventure is all about. We're going to visit some of the places that we have discovered totally by accident, right on the side of the road, that are fine examples of California's gold.
All right. Well, when we come back, Huel interviews a fire hydrant for 20 minutes. We'll do Huel next.
Right now on the Adam Carolla Show, it's time to break down the game film from another episode of PBS's Huel Hauser. This time, Huel talks about the stuff he finds on the side of the road.
It's called a RV park. And boy, are we glad that we came here today.
This is amazing. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Huel takes his act on the road, as he always does. He's been a fixture out here in Southern California on PBS. Again, no commercials, no sponsors, no ratings, no effort. That's what that works out to be. That's how everything works.
How do you know he does not work really hard?
I've seen the show. It's virtually impossible.
You wouldn't work really hard. I wouldn't work really hard. But how do you know that that's not the limit of his capabilities?
Well, maybe that
imagine
may be true.
Forrest Gump having
that's
a TV show, he'd be breaking his back to say, look at the size of that rock.
I guess it may be true, but just the fact that he has conversations with guys that aren't mic'd up, you know, that's a technical thing. Huel may be burning calories, but the fact that he's talking to guys that aren't mic'd up, and that would be considered, as someone who's worked in the business and done many things, I've had a lot of things happen where you just went, well, this is unusable. There's an audio problem. There's a technical problem.
Yeah.
We don't have the old man mic'd up. We don't have the other part of the conversation of the guy on the phone mic'd up, therefore unusable. The fact that everything is deemed usable suggests that he's not burning as many calories as he possibly might.
The perfect point is that when I do all those MSNBC things, I'll have to do, at every commercial break, somebody will run in because my mic has hit the chain of my crucifix once. And you'll have heard this.
Yeah.
That's
right.
All in the middle of a conversation. Unusable.
Right.
We got to fix that. When you're talking to a guy that's got no mic,
yes,
Carolla's got a pretty good point there.
It's always good when someone is doing a talk show and they're on there and they're doing late night and they're talking about how they miss their dear mom and she's the thing and they're doing that thing where they're like kind of pounding on their hearts like she's my heartbeat, but it's like I miss my mom because they're pounding the lav mic, which is right. Somebody before they walk out on stage ought to go, and I know they don't because I've done 50 of them and they never said anything. Your mic is located just under your chin on the left side. Whatever you do, whether you have to scratch yourself or you're doing a mom, this one's for you. Please stay away from it.
Makes me wonder where Danny's mic was at the Exotic Erotic Ball.
I was attached.
All right.
See it.
We will.
That was my mic.
Move forward and
call him off.
Talk to Huel. Huel is hit the streets. He's talking to people on the side of the road. First stop, Lighthouse on the side of the highway.
We spotted this sign. It says Piedras Blancas Light Station, established 1875. It's run by the Bureau of Land Management. So we pulled over and got out and wanted to visit the light station, but the gate's closed. It says it's closed for restoration.
Yeah, see? Something else that might have hit the editing room floor if you were out doing this.
You had to do a story on a place that says closed. It's Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase when they go to that park.
Right.
And it's closed.
Wally World.
Wally World, absolutely. When he goes and travels a whole crew to Wally World and finds out when he gets there, it's not open. Maybe he's incompletely staffed up by Forrest Gump. He's not alone.
Maybe Louie the cameraman.
Somebody tell him that guy should have a mic? You'd know, I'd know, Brian would know, Mike would know.
Yeah, I think Huel is very impromptu. I feel like he wanders around and talks to old people, and the staff can't keep up with him. When I say staff, the one guy who follows him around with the camera. All right, so he went to go take a tour of the lighthouse, except for he couldn't gain any access to the lighthouse. Let's hear the next one.
Our next stop along the side of the road is up here in Gold Country. We are in Tuolumne County. We were heading down Highway 49, which cuts right through the heart of Gold Country, and somehow or another, around the little community of Columbia, we made a wrong turn, and we got off Highway 49. I'm not sure what this road is called, but we pulled into this place called the 49er Ranch. Welcome RVs and clubs.
Look, Huel, we don't need this. All we need is some open highway, said eyeballs, an automobile. I can pass signs that say lighthouse closed and RVs welcome on the way home.
Yeah, from someplace you probably didn't want to be in the first place.
No, that's why you speed. That's why you try to get home. You don't want to stop and talk to any guys who want to pull your RV in. Yes.
This was going to be honest with you, or at least have a segment of it, roadkill.
Mm.
When I heard stuff you find on the side of the road from Huelhauser, I thought, look at that raccoon. Now, you'd think that raccoon could have made it across the street. His whole family made it. That's honest to God what I thought, the stuff you find on the side of the road.
Well, they voted and decided that could have some entertainment value for some of the viewers. So they decided against it immediately.
I understand.
What's our next clip, Bald Brian?
Do you live here?
Yes, sir. Very pleased to say that we live here.
How long have you lived here?
What is it, about a month now, Bill?
Coming on a month.
Old-timers.
We came here last year. We were tenting, camping. Hmm. And we found out we're not tent people. We're RV people. This is God's country.
Same people.
And obviously, this is where he wants us to be.
And here's the RV cat down there.
even the people he talks to are stupid. We were tenting. But we realize we're RV people. This is God's country. So we went with internal combustion rather than just natural.
Danny realized he was a VD person some years back.
I realized I was an OCD person.
He was pup tenning. And then he realized...
Hey, what are those dots?
Yeah. And I like the idea that he managed to wrangle an interview with the people who had been there the shortest period of time. How long you all been here at the RV park?
God be...
4 minutes?
9 to 10 hours, most of the day.
4 minutes. We just, actually, the house is still running. Honey, shut the house off. Getting carbon monoxide poisoning.
Thematically, I'm confused because I thought it was just stuff on the side of the road. Now it's people on the side of the road.
Well, the thing on the side of the road in this particular case is an RV park, which is bound to have people in it.
Because they were tent people. Yeah. Okay, I'm back.
And then there was a cat.
And they are... Interesting, because Gretchen has, or had, I don't know what the hell she's got now except my dough, in Paris. But she has family traditions, and I don't, except to beat your children, and I don't want to follow that one. So I tried to adopt hers.
Christmas.
Yeah. So I tried to adopt her family traditions. One's RVing, and they are fascinating places if you like the Twilight Zone. If you're hip to people who do weird, weird stuff. Camper places are it.
They rent.
Sure, yeah.
You rent the RV or you buy
it? Some of them own it.
1-800 camping for you or something.
Right. See, all that stuff is way, way out of range of my family. Like, things that involve an exchange of money or glances. Those are the things. They don't like my family. First off, my family was miserable in the 1,100 square foot we were living in, the dump in North Hollywood. They were miserable. I couldn't imagine moving those miserable people into 400 square foot with wheels on it. That, A, out of the question. And then, B, it would have involved a credit card, some money exchange, a plan. These were all things like, you know, whenever that ever comes up, my family, as I've said many times, here's how you know it wasn't in the house. If it took batteries or plugged in, it was not allowed inside the house. As far as outside the house goes, anything that involved, you know, people talk about skiing or vacationing or RVing, anything that would take some forethought or some planning and then money exchange, not done. It's very easy math. It's very easy Corolla math. Here's how you know we didn't do it. It involved the burning of fuel, the exchange of money, a credit card to be laid out, something to be rented, and some forethought.
How would I know that?
Didn't exist.
I'd like to thank you for making me feel better.
Oh,
I know, really. I was having a rough morning this morning. It was kind of weird. But when he said if it used batteries, it wasn't allowed inside. That rule does not apply in the new Bonaducci house. And I went, oh, yeah, you're living large, dude. It's cool.
Good times.
Yeah.
Where's Huel when I need him? Oh, he's going to talk to a guy about a log cabin.
A log cabin?
Yes, Huel. I've always wondered what it was like to try to make a log cabin. So about 20 years ago, I tried it.
You built this log cabin.
That I did. And after I built it, I says, that was nice. I don't think I'll try it again.
So it just sits up there.
Well, it sits up there. Now it's a chicken coop. We have our own fresh ranch eggs for our guests.
Wow.
And that one was gross.
Hold on. I got to hear.
That was a sexual wow.
Wow. You'd never heard of eggs before.
Well, I've always wondered what it was like to try to make a log cabin. So about 20 years ago, I tried it.
You built this log cabin.
That I did. And after I built it, I says, that was nice. I don't think I'll try it again.
So it just sits up there.
Well, it sits up there. Now it's a chicken coop. We have our own fresh ranch eggs for our guests.
Wow.
Whoa.
I wish the audio would have fallen out of that one. That was a disturbing one.
Yeah, I made me scared of that.
All right, now Huel takes a picture for some tourists in front of an elk on the side of the road.
All right, let's walk out here just a minute, because you want to get your picture made. Here, let me have your camera and turn around, and I'll get a shot of you here. Yeah, we want to get a... Here, let me have it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, turn rough around trade. And let me get a shot with the elk... See the one that's saying hi. Here we go. Here we go.
I'm sure,
one,
it's a dog.
Two. Very good.
Thank you.
That's great TV there, baby.
Well, this was a sweeps piece. He had to take it, you know, to the big house.
Very controversial. Huel Hauser takes a picture of tourists in front of an elk. Yeah, must be nice. You know, maybe it's good. You know, like when they say cats can lower your blood pressure.
Yeah.
They should get a cat, calm you down. Maybe everyone has hypertension because we're watching the guy from 24 trying to save the world every week. He's running. Things are blowing up. He's diving on the hood of the car and getting dragged down an alley. You know, if you think about it, they talk about stress and your stress level, and they go, well, what about work? Your blood pressure, you have hypertension. Your blood pressure's high. Things been tough? Well, work's been kind of tough, been pretty stressful. And then you do that. Family, it's been pretty stressful. But how about watching 9 hours of Jack Bauer and a clock ticking in the lower right-hand corner? I mean, if it's effective, if it's done well, if you go to a movie, if you go to Saw 4 and you actually think someone's being sawed in half, maybe it does create hypertension. Maybe this is therapy.
Wow.
Maybe folks should be forced to sit around with a cat and watch Huel Hauser for an hour a day just to bring their blood pressure down.
That's not a bad call.
Because that
very soothing.
Giant countryman there with the waffle stomper boots and the big arms and the La Tigra pullover shirt just talking to people that are dying to die. Maybe that would just make you go like...
Plus yeah. There'd be another segment for him. Things you find on the side of the road. The cat I strangled while being forced to watch Huel Hauser.
I'm convinced that if you pet a cat and you watch Huel Hauser for a half hour today, you don't need the Lipitor anymore. You don't need any blood pressure medication. You don't even have to change your diet.
Your cholesterol is going to go down from this guy?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think
nice.
Your tension, you know, their talk about tension. I mean, I'm really feel like I'm onto something here. They're constantly talking about stress and tension, yet all we do is seek that out in our life. Not our personal lives, but you turn on the news and more Marines dead in Iraq, ferry overturns in Kuala Lumpur. Then you switch it over and it's world's craziest police chases and a guy's buying it on a motorcycle. And then you switch it over to the Bionic Woman or 24 or whatever the hell's going on, CSI, and someone's murdering sorority girls or Danny, right, on the CSI. And why bombard yourself with that kind of negative imagery, death, heist? You know, if you think about it, if you do a good action thriller, you're creating suspense and tension.
Oh, yeah.
People are going, oh, wow, that was a really intense episode of 24, whatever it was.
Plus, you know he's too drunk to be saving the world.
Yeah.
No,
Kiefer Sutherland should not be saving the world.
Oh, wait
a
minute.
You get a knot in your stomach.
Huel meets Jack Bauer.
Oh, no. They nice neutralize work, each
Brian.
Other.
Wow, this is amazing. You've got little rocks, big rocks. Look at this one. What is this?
Everybody's up to that.
You've got coffee cans full of rocks over here.
be great. He'll square it off with the bad guy. Hey, guys, like you for lunch. He'll eat Louie. Louie, he eats guys like me for lunch. Well, that's fascinating. I may pull up another. Now, would you eat me with gravy or a la mode? Or would you can me and preserve me? And hold on, Louie. What is that? You're saying my ass is writing checks that I can't cash? What does that mean? Oh, I see. It's just badass talk. Okay.
When you say you eat guys like me, does that mean guys who dress like me or talk like me?
Now slow down. Lock and load, rock and roll. Now what does that mean exactly? I don't know what that... Okay.
I think you've been shot, sir.
I don't have time to bleed, Louie.
I'm sorry, you, but it does seem to be pumping out of your chest with each heartbeat, sir.
I think you can still do your show.
I never stopped you before being dead.
Pain don't hurt.
What happened to my Yule? He's all badass. He just says it slowly.
Act nice and be nice until it's time not to be nice. That's from Roadhouse.
Everything's from
Roadhouse. All right. Huell Hauser, 24. I could watch that. All right, let's play our last Huell clip.
This has been all very exciting. We were just going down the road. We ended up meeting a lot of people, nice people, seeing some elk, Roosevelt elk up close. And most of all, getting a piece of this.
You also need some ice cream. You need it a la mode.
All right. We'll get some blackberry pie a la mode at the Redwood Trails General Store, somewhere between the towns of Trinidad and Oreck, right off Highway 101 on our state's northern coast. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Boy, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah. See? No more hypertension. Yeah. Yippee-ki-yay, mother effer!
Huell won't swear.
No.
Hasta la vista, baby!
He'll take a pledge.
Hasta la vista, Louie! All right. We need to take ourselves a break when we come back. Mr. Brightside, haven't played in a while.
Nice.
You have an issue, something bothering you? I'll put a happy spin on it, make it all better. 866-901-ADAM. Mr. Brightside next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. From the corner office, program director Jack Silver.
Happy Tuesday, peeps! Or as I call it, Happy Caveman Day! Today, comedian and Simpsons producer Dana Gould! The Eastman plays Mr. Brightside to all the peeps with problems. A special round of reverse gay walking. And Dodgers legend Tommy Lasorda. Oh, sweet. Can't wait to ask the team, man, about the upcoming World Series. Can't wait to find out if the Bostons are gonna get one over on the Denver Galaxy. Go sports.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Go sports. All right. Well, everything is relative. Again, you think you have problems? Turn the news on. I'll show you problems.
Yep.
I will show you problems, baby. It is the one good thing about the news, and secretly the reason I think we're all attracted to it, because we're feeling pretty bad about our day because we spilled coffee all over our new tie. And we didn't get the promotion we thought we were going to get, or we ran out of gas, or we found out that one of the kids got a D in algebra. And then you turn on the news and you see people with real problems.
You see
people that are dying in fires. You see people whose villages have been pillaged and they've been raped and a horrible famine and ethnic cleansing. And you look at your tie with the stain on it and it doesn't look so bad anymore. Well, that's why we do a little something called Mr. Brightside.
Got problems? Need cheering up? Talk to Mr. Brightside, Adam Carolla.
Just put on a happy face.
Start at the top and speak to John. John?
Oh, you're right, Mr. Brightside.
What's the problem?
I'm doing well.
Relatively, yes. Look, if your call emanates from this country, you're ahead of 99% of the world's populace.
If you can make a call, you're beating most of the world.
That's right, unless you use that little wand with your mouth and dial that way. John, did you dial using your fingers?
Index finger.
That's a yes.
Okay. All right. Hey, John.
I live in the USA. You're right.
All
right.
I
should just hang up right now.
That'd be nice.
I'm ahead of the game.
Please hang up on yourself.
Good man.
See, that, people,
that's a fast lesson learned, man.
People living in gulags who can't hang up on themselves.
Right.
David?
Hi.
Nice job, Teddy. David?
Hey.
What's going on?
Well, I went bankrupt a few years ago. We're not married, but she might as well be my wife. We have a 5-year-old daughter, but... Anyway, I went bankrupt, and we bought our house in 2002, and I erroneously thought that I should get off of the mortgage in order to go bankrupt. I didn't really need to do that, but I took my name off, did a, you know, a quit claim kind of thing, and then...
Now she has the house?
Right.
That's right. And
yeah.
Be back on.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. First off, you know, all the people that are... depressed because they went bankrupt. When you're really poor, there's nothing to bankrupt. You just don't own a thing. There's no bills. There's no anything. There's just you own nothing. I mean, I wish I had enough money to file for bankruptcy all the time I was poor. It's just I had a crappy truck that was worth $900 and I rented a house and had no credit cards because the only kind I could get were from the Bank of Hoven.
Sure.
Or you give them $500 and they very generously give you a line of credit up to $300. Thank you. Could have done that myself.
It'd be cool if you could declare bankruptcy retroactively.
Yes, I'd like
I could
to
get
build
back the 80s.
I'd like to build a time machine so I could A, kill myself in high school and then B, file for bankruptcy. But, David, yes, this may cost you a few ducats, but you dodged a bullet. You're out of a relationship that was going nowhere, and ultimately it didn't cost you that much.
Okay.
I mean, what is your life worth?
Well, the thing is, the house, when we bought it, it was like, you know, $150,000, and it's doubled in value. So
right.
I'm out all that equity.
Well, that sucks, and, okay, let me explain something. There are always setbacks in life. Everyone has their version of this story. Some less money, most more money. But if you learn something from the experience, then you can move forward. If you live in the past and you just sort of harbor resentment about her and the money you lost, then the joke's on you because you spend the second half of your life resenting something or somebody from a different part of your life, except for you're still living it, whereas they've moved on. So, David?
Yes.
That was a $150,000 lesson you learned. Now move on.
Really?
Yes.
What else are you going to do?
You're pissing me off. I know I'm supposed to put a happy spin on everything.
Yeah, this
but
is one of the weirder Mr.
Love.
Bright sides I've ever seen.
Well, look, first off, anybody with a financial problem, I feel for, but you tell me you've lost a kid. You tell me you've lost a limb. You tell me your doctor said 6 months to live. I'll show you someone right. with a real problem. Financial problem is just that. It has nothing to do right. with your family or you. It is an external thing, and... show me a guy who figured out how to make some money last year. I'll show you a guy who can figure out how to make some money next year.
Right. Damn right you will.
Unless your wife got half your brain in the settlement, you're fine.
No,
that's
she got
what
it.
You need.
That's
she got it at birth.
All right. No, look, your greatest earning tool is what's between your ears. And
not recently.
Well, between your legs. Point is you can take that and apply it to anything. You could, look, is there any, I know this is an extreme, but is there any one of us who thinks we couldn't take Richard Branson, take away every penny he has, all his Virgin Airlines and all his different entrepreneurial endeavors, and within 5 years that guy wouldn't be running something back up on his feet and ruling the world again? Or
yeah,
Mark Cuban or any of these guys, whoever it is.
Plus,
Whatever it is.
I agree with you so clearly. I really was and am nervous during the divorce, and my contract is very short, and apparently they're mad at me, and blah, blah, blah. I still okayed. I bought my condo, and I own 803 square of rooftop, and I okayed a $30,000 deck yesterday. Now I'm going to make payments, but I okayed. I said, I can make more money. I know I can.
Well, it's a topic for a different segment, but...
No, I was agreeing with you, saying, show me a guy that made money last year.
No, I know. I mean, what I mean is, you know, the penny-pinching thing is seems like it's a good idea. On the other hand, sometimes you need to go out and buy something expensive to heat up a little fire under you. It makes you feel like working. All the times I worked three jobs, I would go out and buy an expensive car every 6 months just to make me get up in the morning and go to one of my lengthy jobs. All right, let's talk quickly to Dennis, who's stuck in traffic. Dennis?
Hey, Adam.
You're stuck in traffic?
What up, homie?
Hey, Danny. Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
You going to work?
Yeah, I left 15 minutes early, and I am stuck in traffic. I'm already, I got to be there at 7, which is like 3 minutes away. And I see no bright side about being stuck in traffic right now.
Well, you own a car. You're not on foot, right?
That's the good thing.
All right. And you're stuck in traffic because you're employed.
Right.
Maybe not after you get to work this morning, but theoretically, A, you can't be stuck in traffic unless you have a car, and B, it's a morning commute, so you must be going to a job, and you're leaving a house?
Of course.
So, you're a homeowner, you own an automobile, you're gainfully employed, and your boss, who may be on his work too, well, he knows you're stuck in traffic now. You're just giving him a heads up.
That whole area is stopped dead. It's all over the news this morning.
That's right.
So your boss already knows.
Whatever area you're calling from. Hey, do you want to say something to your boss?
Yeah, that I'm going to run a little late.
What do you do?
What do you mean?
For a living.
Wow.
Oh, I'm a driver. Truck driver.
Uh-huh. So you drive to work, and then you get into a truck, and then you drive.
Yeah, well, I don't mind that because I get paid by the hour.
Yeah, here's the whole thing about driving a truck or delivering. You deliver stuff?
Trailer, 53-footer.
Mm-hmm. I have not spoken to anyone who delivers anything that can give me a window that's tighter than 4 hours. I don't know what late is when you deliver things, because the guy says, well, the truck usually comes about noon, but sometimes it comes at 2, and then sometimes it comes at 10 a.m., and if you call a place and you go, hey, man, what happened to the thing I ordered 4 days ago? They go, should be there between 8 a.m. and 9 p.m. So who the hell ever knows if you're late if that's what you do? As a matter of fact, is there anything that's ever been delivered to your house where you went, this is like 20 minutes late, dude? No. Unless you're dropping off Chinese food, nobody knows when you're supposed to be there anyway. I don't know how they've worked that out, but it's diabolical. Somehow, everything that gets delivered to your house gets delivered in some sort of 9 to 12 hour window, and no one ever says, what do you mean between 9 a.m. and 8 p.m.? How about you give me a time when you're going to drop it off? They somehow worked this out. We've all went along with it, yet we won't accept it for almost everything else in our life. Everything else is about, you know, you don't go, hey, I'll meet you for lunch. What time? Between noon and 5 p.m., yeah. I guess. Hey, you want to catch a movie? Sure. What time? I don't know.
12, 2, 4,
I'm
going to
need about a 9-hour window. Could be an early matinee. Could be a late-night showing. I'll just show up. You wait at the theater for me. It's totally unacceptable in every other thing except for when you're waiting for something to be delivered from your house or to your house, and in which case now there's a huge window. Nobody knows.
Yeah, the window thing is weirder than I thought. Like, Time Warner came to my new house, and they were there exactly when they said they would be. I mean, almost to the second.
Yeah, you know why those pussies have gotten off their lazy ass? It's called satellite. And now they're forced to do their job.
Well, they did it.
Because for 20 years, Time Warner was kiss our hairy ass, have fun watching Channel 5 and Hal Fishbeck fill you in.
I love Hal Fishbeck.
On nothing. That's what it was. And then Satellite got into the came into play. And then the pussies over Time Warner, and this is every other cable went, station or provider went, oh, I guess we have to start doing our job now and providing a service because there's competition.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Thank you.
That I didn't know. Was a bedroom set. Do you know what they said? I said, I'll take that one. I'm looking at a whole bedroom, and I don't want to design. I don't know how to do that. So I said, I will take that bedroom. Please put it in a truck. Deliver it to my house.
Right.
A bedroom
Two
set.
2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
It's where I'm looking at it. I'm an hour from my house.
Oh,
put
yeah.
Put it into a truck. Drive it to my house right now.
But they seem to always be
that's
late
the
for
model.
The window.
That's
yeah,
the
that's
model.
The model.
Well, there's two things what they what I've learned. The local warehouse never has it.
Yeah.
Because they always go this. Whatever you get, they do this one. Well, we have a local warehouse in Santa Ana. Now, if they have it in Santa Ana, it's 2 to 3 days. But if they don't, it has to come in from China, and then that boat comes in another 6 months. They never have it at the local warehouse. Where is that local warehouse, and why is there nothing in it? What a gig. I'd like a gig guarding the local warehouse. 500,000 square feet of nothing. One pigeon flying through the place. I didn't know. They must be laughing to themselves because they know nothing is in the local warehouse. Yeah, maybe companies don't have local warehouses. Maybe they just feel like they have to say it. For me, I'm going to start a furniture company called Slow Boat from China with local warehouse in parentheses at the bottom. And then every single thing you see on my floor, I'm going to go, let me check and see if we have it in our local warehouse. If you have it in our local warehouse, you can have it later on today. It's never in the local warehouse. Even if it's the most common item in the store, that and they're out of it. They discontinued it. They don't make it anymore. And you go, fine, let me have that one. And they go, that's can't sell you that one. And you go, why not? They go, that's the floor model. And you go, I understand, but you don't have the other one in the back, so I'll take this one. And they go, well, if we sell you that one, then how are people going to know what? What you don't
that
have?
You don't have one?
That you don't have one? It's going to be real easy. I'll have it at my house. I'll save you some time. We won't have to go through this embarrassing exchange again. Give me that one. And they go, sorry, can't have that one. There's nothing worse than staring, sitting on, laying on, looking at the thing you want. And you have money in your pocket. And they're like, nah, you can't take that one. We'll check our local warehouse. Yeah, my ass. All right, now I'm angry. Sorry, there you go.
Feel better?
No.
You knew
no.
You would.
No.
Put on a
happy I don't know if anyone does.
Let me check the local. I'm convinced the guy just picks up a phone and does. I'm convinced the guy goes,
there.
Let me check the local warehouse. Yeah, uh-huh. Hey, Bert, check VIN number 2275-2. Uh-huh. Ottoman. Cordova Brown. Yeah. Are you sure? Okay. Thank you. And then the guy hangs up and I go, hey, buddy, the phone cord wasn't plugged into the phone.
No,
I saw it dangling. I saw it dangling.
I had a
there's no local warehouse.
A moment. I think you would have enjoyed.
You dialed six numbers.
But it would
have call your call again.
It caused so much attention. I think you might have hated it. Had you been further away from me so people didn't know you were with me, you might have enjoyed it. I went to get printer ink, just one cartridge, for $20, whatever they cost. And the lady said, I'm closed. And she's in a big store that's open, but that section's closed.
Yeah.
And you need a key, like the CD key that releases them now. They're locked
yes.
in.
Yeah. Yes.
So I said, the key's right there. Just give it to me. I'll open this thing. She goes, nope, we're closed.
Yeah.
And really? And I just twisted the package until it broke off the thing.
Yeah.
And then I walked it up to the desk, and I went to pay for it. And the lady runs over and tells the guys, I'm stealing it.
Right.
And I turned to the people behind me, and I said, this is $20. This is a $100 bill. I wish to buy this. They say I wish to steal this. Who's the d? And mm-hmm. I said the word. And they were like a crowd of my gang. They yelled, he's the d. And they sold it to me. I had to rip something off the wall.
I had a conversation with my buddy the Wheeze yesterday that went something like this. You've heard me say many times on the show, never been a better time to be poor.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, let's just take transportation. my family never flew anywhere. I never flew anywhere. My dad's from Philadelphia. His family's from Philadelphia. The entire time I was a child, he never went back to Philadelphia one time to see his mom or his brothers. Why? He was lukewarm on them. He was a Corolla after all. But secondly, he couldn't afford to fly on a jet aircraft. It cost money in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Now you can take JetBlue coast to coast if you do it in advance and you hop on the computer and you do it through Travelworm or whatever. $129. You do it, you know, 6 months in advance. You're going just about anywhere. And then you can go home and watch your flat screen 42-inch TV that comes out of Korea for $900 now and go to the Costco and buy a 55-gallon drum of cashews and live off that for $8. I mean, stuff is big, stuff is plentiful, stuff is cheap. So that's my argument for never a better time to be poor. But what I said to my buddy the Wheeze yesterday is not a great time to be rich. And here's what I mean. Now everything is one big old store. It's one big old IKEA, and it's one big old Costco, and it's one big old chain. There was a time where you could go into a place and have the guy go, yeah, sorry, that's a floor model, and it's not in our warehouse. And you go, it isn't, is it? Let me check with a few friends of mine, see if they can make something happen. And you peel off a couple of 20s, and you go, I'll be taking this one home. And the guy'd go, okay, I'll bring it out. That's how it worked. You could go into a restaurant, and the guy'd go, we're booked. And you'd go, you are? Let me see what we got here. And you'd get yourself a seat. I've had it happen many times now that I have more money than time where somebody said, well, that's going to be about a six-week lead time. And I said, what's it going to take to get that down to 2 weeks? Nothing, sir. We don't do things that way here. And the guy's wearing a blue vest, and he's got a name tag, and there's 80 of these warehouses across the country. And you're like, look, I'm not trying to jump in the front of the line. I'm just saying I want this thing in 2 weeks, not in 6 weeks. I don't mind paying for that privilege. What's it going to take? And the guy says, I don't know what you're talking about. Nothing.
And he really didn't know. He doesn't get it. Doesn't talk like it used to.
Ain't that Sammy Davis Jr., yeah. Frank Sinatra? What's
that.
It going to take?
In Vegas, you can still pull up to the valet, give him a 20, and say, keep it close.
You can even just pull up to the valet in George Maloof's Lamborghini, and they know to put the fancy cars right up front because that draws other rich people.
It does. It Vegas is one of the last bastions of this. But in general, having money, jumping to the front of the line, I know a guy who knows a guy, you know, just all that, whatever it is. Hey, my kid wants a ferret. Oh, those are illegal. Yeah. Here's $20. Go find the guy from customs and go bring the thing in.
Right.
Whatever it is, whether it's just getting through the airport, whether it's that thing that you weren't supposed to have, you know, like, if you wanted some car that wasn't legal here in California because of smog, whatever, you pay a guy $100. He gives you the thing. You go, you know, you used to be able to pay everyone off. You just, if you wanted to get your car smogged, you pay.
Yes.
You'd know a guy.
Yeah, the illegal smog
guy. If you wanted anything, if you wanted an alligator in your apartment, you just had to know a guy. You could get whatever you wanted. No more. Everyone's going to lose their job. Everyone's worried about Homeland Security. Nobody's taking bribes anymore. And furthermore, people are offended that you even bring it up. As I've said, I've had many exchanges with people where someone has said, it's going to be 6 weeks. And I've said, how can we get that down? And they said, we can't get it down. And I said, I don't mind. And I'm not talking about bribing a cop. I'm just saying, I don't mind paying more to speed things up a little. And the person was getting offended, saying, sir, I don't know what kind of business you think we're running, kind of thing. I'm just saying, great time to be poor. The whole rich guy where you could just walk around, you know, that part where you handed the cop your driver's license with a 20 and said, here you go, officer. I know you guys work very hard. I'd like to make a little contribution to Policeman's Ball. You have any tickets you'd like to sell? And that thing where he's like, all right, Mr. Corolla, we'll just don't let this happen again. Those days are gone.
Yeah.
You can't do that to a cop anymore. You're going to get pulled out, beaten, and arrested.
Well, there's a better way.
Mm.
Paperclip the 100 to your driver's license and don't say anything. If your driver's license comes back without the 100, you're on your way.
Yeah.
Do you do that?
Yeah.
Mm.
Not in L.A. You forget it in L.A. In Chicago all the time.
Oh, yeah. Chicago, yeah.
Chicago, I'm thinking, still love that stuff.
I'm thinking L.A. But
not
in
a
L.A.,
prayer.
No way with any of this crap. And thus, being rich, not bad. But you don't get to buy your way into these things. The whole thing about being rich, the whole reason you want to be rich, you want to cut in line.
Yeah.
You want to go to that restaurant that's filled, give the maitre d' $100, and go get the table that some, and then some other couple happens along 10 minutes later and goes, what happened to our table? Sir, there's been a mix-up. Mm-hmm. No, you paid, you're in.
Same rule being famous.
We will, I totally agree. We need to take a break. T?
Yep.
What do you got coming up in the news, baby girl?
More women are speaking out about David Copperfield. And Halle Berry was on Inside the Actor's Studio, and she revealed some things about herself that you don't know.
Well,
like that she's an overrated hack.
Wasn't that she's a blowhard.
Yeah.
that we were acutely aware of. Oh, man, her and Lipton.
It's a delight. It really is.
Two people with orange hair squaring off, blowing hard. Take a quick break. Can't wait to hear that next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. Coming up this morning, the Ace Man's going to give you your new nickname.
Cliff?
Yeah.
You're black?
Yeah.
You work on the railroad?
Yep.
Coal.
We'll have a little chat with Simpsons producer and comedian Dana Gould.
I went to Europe last summer. I performed in Edinburgh, Scotland. Fulfilled a lifelong dream of being heckled in Gaelic. Good evening. I'm Dana Gould from America. Scree!
And talk to Baseball Hall of Famer Tommy Lasorda. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, that's true, but now it's time for Teresa Strasser to shine with the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Ever since the Fed started investigating David Copperfield for rape, a few other women have come forward to say they were targets of his system of picking up women at his magic shows. Here is a voicemail message that David Copperfield left for a woman, not the one who's accusing him of rape, another woman, also inviting her to the Bahamas. The sound quality isn't the best, but you can pretty much make out what he's saying.
Hey, it's David Copperfield, your friend from Las Vegas. I've got a very interesting opportunity for you. If you could look at your calendar, it's in a week and a half from now, if you're available to come to the island. We talked about that, and having a bunch of people down there, I was going to invite you. Just have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You want to come down to rape? I mean, damn it.
I don't
fantasy.
Know.
Fantasy. Copperfield on? Copperfield? Damn it.
He says other people, and we're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
I don't hear anything terrible in that.
You always have to work other people into inviting people.
Sometimes
places.
Other people are not there.
I've seen that in the movies where you want to come over for a party and the girl comes over and says, where's the party? And they say, you are.
Right.
But I've only seen it in the movies.
Yeah. Well, we'll wait and see. Look, the reason I'm saying he's guilty is because he's a magician and magicians have personality disorders.
No, clowns.
There's certain clowns do. Not rodeo clowns, but regular clowns do. Magicians, publicists. Certain attorneys, there's certain jobs that just attract people who have personality disorders. Usually magicians have no personalities. That's what happens. This is a guy, if you want to be a magician, you have to lock yourself up in a basement for hours on end while everyone else is out partying. As a matter of fact, I had an interesting revelation, although it's probably not... To you, but to me it was.
I
saw Bruce Springsteen last night.
Oh, you did?
I did. I've never seen Bruce Springsteen before.
I hear it's an amazing experience.
I've seen him 5 times. It's amazing.
Yeah, he's great. And I was looking at the 10 people that were on stage, and nobody except for Clarence Clemens was over 5'7.5". And I thought, wow, everyone in this band is short. And then I thought to myself, there are almost no tall musicians. You don't see any guys that are 6'4", 6'5", as musicians, except for maybe Tesh.
John.
But
a lot of money.
The point is you don't see bands with guys that are a bunch of 6'5", guys at this side of the insane clown posse. And I thought, I wonder why that is. And then I thought, oh, that guy that's 5'4", and tearing it up on the slide guitar right now had to spend a lot of time in his house.
He wasn't
he playing that slide guitar. He was not out tearing up the gridiron. He was not out lighting up the hoop court. He wasn't on top of a lot of chicks back then. He had a lot of time, and I thought, oh, I see, that's how it works. And I wonder if magician and antisocial go together as well. The life of the party can rarely do anything except for be the life of the party.
Sure. I will tell you this. The only part of that bothered me is you said, you know, there's nobody in the band over like 5'7", 5'9". They were all, you know, these tall people. Then it threw out that they were short. I'm going to make all those people tower over me.
But see, Danny, look at how charming a personality you've developed.
You see?
I had to make up for it.
That's right.
All right. Well,
I feel better about myself. Thanks, T.
Moving on to sports news. Jack Silver's favorite. Go sports.
Yeah.
The Lakers are about to start their season.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe Bryant says he likes his teammates. He likes the Lakers' potential. But he's not saying whether or not he's going to be with the Lakers all season here. Coach Phil Jackson finally admits that the Lakers are listening to offers for Kobe.
It's better sooner than later, in my estimation. You know, let's get settled and figure out what is going to happen, or if nothing's going to happen, and then go from there. You know, the ultimate thing is that it's important to move forward as quickly as possible so we can get ourselves arranged and down the road here. The season's at hand, and you know, this has been kind of going on for 2-3 weeks.
I saw that interview on TV. Phil was actually in his car. He has a CD of black guys bouncing a ball and sneakers squeaking. Just calms him down.
Right.
It's what he relaxes to.
Also, yeah. It makes the interview sound more authentic.
It does. I would like that behind me, whatever I do, whatever interview I do. I want the squeaking tennis shoes and the balls bouncing in the background. All right. Good times.
Lots of talk about Kobe going to Chicago.
Well, look.
They always do that.
Yeah, I'm from L.A. I just don't care about sports anymore.
Not even Lakers?
We're too screwed. You can't have sports in this town.
Really? When I moved here and didn't have any friends, Chick Hearn was like my only friend. I'm serious.
Well, let me explain why the mustard is not off the hot dog.
Is the butter getting hard?
And by the way,
the Jell-O jiggling.
As I've said many times,
do not diss Chick Hearn.
I will say two things about Chick Hearn, and then I will tell you why we can't have sports in this town. Number one, one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life, ever, is when during Chick Hearn's eulogy, Chick Hearn was a famous voice of the Los Angeles Lakers, died about 4 or 5 years ago, probably, had a consistent game streak of, 10,000 games, never missed a game. Although near the end when he was sick,
he missed emotionally.
They carted him onto the court. He said one syllable. Then they carted him back to Cedars so he could keep his streak alive.
Yeah, he loved it.
That ain't a streak. If I have a streak of 5,000 days without ever missing work, except for on Monday, I'm really super sick, but it's all right. I get my wife to drag me into the office. I throw up in Jack Silver's garbage can, and then I go home. That's as good as missing a day of work. Me physically showing up to say I'm here and then turning around and leaving, that's missing a day of work, Chick. Sorry. I mean no disrespect to the family of Chick Hearns, but you had a streak of how many games you've called consecutively. You being dragged into the forum, farting into the mic, and then turning around and leaving via wheelchair does not keep the streak alive. I don't go for that streak alive crap. You hobbling out on the field, throwing one pitch or one pass, and then hobbling off the field, that doesn't keep a consecutive game streak alive. You must play in the game.
Chick did not do that. But did you give him any bravery points?
I give him narcissism points. He didn't want to see his streak die. It's a BS point.
I don't think his fans wanted to see it die.
No, nobody wanted to see a decrepit, sick Chick Hearn get dragged out on the court, say half a syllable, and then get dragged back in an iron lung.
You brought me a lot of joy.
Oh, yeah. You.
I don't even know the guy and or care.
Chick Hearn's a legend. Yeah. I think that's a narcissistic move that you do to keep keep your streak alive. Look, fine. Who cares? It's sports, whatever. The funniest thing in the world, he was a great announcer. The funniest thing in the world is when he was being eulogized by Magic Johnson. Magic had said his piece about Chick Hearn, and then he decided it was now time to bring to the dais the next guy, who was Cardinal Mahoney, who he announced as Colonel Mahoney. And for some reason, I was driving, wiping a tear from my eye, and laughed my ass off when Magic was like, and now I'd like to bring to the dais Colonel Mahoney. The guy
Did he salute the Cardinal? Because his rank is technically above Magic.
He snapped his heels together.
But there is something about talking to a Cardinal, though, that just shakes you up.
I guess so.
Well, you're an atheist.
Although he didn't know he was a Cardinal, or maybe he did. Look, a uniform's a uniform.
Right.
The reason sports will not work in this town is for the following reason. We have, this town is split in half. Half Mexican. Oh, let's make it 5/8 Mexican. Feels 3/4. Half Mexican, don't care.
Okay.
Don't care for the most part about our sports. Basketball, let's just say. Even football, baseball, they're fans of. Half this town likes soccer and doesn't even speak English.
Right.
Half this town is from somewhere else that does not have our sport, number one. The second reason why this town is bad for sports is, Danny, where are you from?
Philadelphia.
We got a Philly fan. T?
Yeah.
Where are you from?
San Francisco.
All right. So Golden State, Warriors, Giants, all that. Brian? San Francisco. There you go. Now, I could ask Bill where he was from, or I could ask Angie where she was from, or I could just keep going to my assistant Jay from the Chicago area. He likes the Sox, or he likes the Cubs, or he likes whoever.
Bears.
That's who, Bulls. The Bulls. That's why this town is horrible. When I go to Kimmel's on Sunday and I look around at everyone wearing a jersey from every other part of the country, I realize, oh, we got Pats fans, we got Jets fans, we got Bulls fans, we got every fan, but nobody is from here. So
where's the sport?
Half the people in Los Angeles are from Mexico.
Right.
Don't care. The other half are from Chicago, New York, or Iowa. They don't care. That's why it's a tough sports town. T, sorry, go ahead.
Do you care about Halle Berry's relationship with her father?
Oh, yes. This is going to be good.
She discusses it.
I mean, no, but I care a lot about hearing about it.
She discusses it with James Lipton on Inside the Actor's Studio.
Is he still alive?
No.
Did you ever reconcile?
Never.
Never. Does it feel incomplete, or are you content with the way it ended?
I'm learning to be content. I've realized that you can have relationships with people even when they're gone.
Sure.
And my relationship
Best
with
time.
My father has gone much better now that he's not here.
Accidental joke, I think. I don't know that Halle Berry was intending that to be funny.
No, I don't think she was.
She got a laugh.
No, but you
she was either.
You get a laugh with that joke. I've done the joke. I've said my father and I are recently our relationship improved. He died. And I've got a laugh at that because I didn't
I
like
think
it.
Halle stumbled
like it.
Into a laugh.
Yeah, I think she stumbled into it.
Now, here's something.
Now, let me ask quickly.
Yeah.
Her father is black, right?
I think so. Was.
And her mother is white.
Right.
He was and she is.
Yeah.
Now, when she wins the Oscar...
She's black.
What side of the family does she honor?
No, the one she doesn't care that much about.
The guy
about.
She doesn't care that much about?
Yeah, the dead guy that she didn't like when she was alive and likes better now than that he's dead.
Yeah.
But I've been mad at that one since that day. That one bothered me that day.
I bothered me that day, too, but now I'm marginally more bothered by the fact that she didn't like that side of the family. Great way to honor it.
Do you want to know how Halle got her first name?
Yes.
How did you acquire your first name?
It's from a very well-known department store in Cleveland at the time, Halle Brothers.
So you're named after a department store?
Yes.
Blowhards. I'd go in there just to see what they have.
Is there a sale at Blowhards?
Yep.
Everything must go. Everything must blow.
Everything must blow.
Now, lastly, James Lipton has admitted that he used to be a pimp.
What?
Yes. Mm. Yes. And now he had to clarify. It's not exactly that he was a pimp. He was something called a mech back in the days when he was young and unemployed in France. Here he is telling Access Hollywood.
Oh, yes, I was. It was a long time ago. I couldn't work. I couldn't get a working permit.
and I wanted to stay. I knew a young woman who lived in that world. When I ran out of money, she said, you'll be my mech. Now, a mech is not really a pimp. A pimp is somebody who exploits and even abuses women. A mech works for the women.
She's got a strong mech hand.
You know what? It's hard out here for a mech.
Can you imagine walking up to some chick on the street and going, well, of course you don't do it this way. She says, want a date. That's how you start. But just anyway, get into it real fast and have Lipton come up and go, you got a beef? Is there a problem here? Just go, yeah, first I'm going to smack that hair dye off the top of your head. Then I'm going to have sex with your girl.
Guy looks like he was dipped in Just for Men. Comes out and is like,
he is dipped in Just for Men.
Do we have a problem? Sir, before I give you a smackdown, I will ask that you find your implicit cue.
If you think that there's an inch of that man that isn't Just for Men, you let me know.
When I was beating some of the cast of Dr. Zhivago with my mech hand, whilst reading a autobiography Oscar Wilde wrote some years ago. Oh, what a colossal pain in the ass blowhard he is. Is he gay? Is he married? Is there a woman enough to marry him?
He always refers to his wife in the audience.
I don't think he's gay, except that he's gay.
Trudy, my life partner, is with me.
Does anybody know any married with children guys that have no concept they're gay, yet they're on fire? I have a neighbor that could not be gayer, married to the hottest chick in the world, has five kids, won't stop breeding, and I don't know if it's a point to keep breeding to prove he's not gay or he just doesn't get that he's gay, but the whole neighborhood knows he's gay. I mean, he might as well wear a tutu and dance the flamingo, if that's what gay
this
people
doesn't
do.
You are gay.
That's what they do now, yeah.
This doesn't gay. Bill switch up Lipton for you, knowing that he was a pimp?
Look. All right. Barry's honoring the side of the family she doesn't like, and what else?
And that's it. I'm Teresa Strasser, sipping on my mech juice, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
All right. The only pimp hanging out at Samuel French. We'll take ourselves a break. Dana Gould, good news. Truly funny. Dana Gould in studio next. We'll do that when we come back.
This place isn't haunted. Forget it. It'd be great if it was haunted, though, because you could identify the ghosts. You know, Kennedy walking around at 3 in the morning. Boo! I am a ghost! Boo! The toilet's flushing and there's no one there. Aren't you scared?
And now Dana Gould is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Dana.
Why was I talking so fast?
Maybe you were nervous.
Trying to be the meth?
I don't know. I listen to old tapes of myself when I have to. I'm like, why was I in a hurry?
Yeah, the...
Nobody was going anywhere.
Usually when you listen to yourself, you think too fast or too slow.
Yeah,
Pull it together
fast.
Or you think slow it down?
I'm always too fast.
I'm always too loud.
And nothing sounds good the next day. You have to give it like 15 years.
Yeah.
Then it gets nostalgic.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. You don't really remember. You're not really fond of the thing you were doing. You're fond of being 21.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, wow, that comedy sucked, but I was nailing a hot stripper.
Yeah, no.
Those were the days.
I don't have those memories.
Oh, you don't?
Me either, man. I may have been doing it. I just don't have those memories.
Yeah, you don't have those memories. You literally physically don't have those memories.
I just don't have the memories.
Dana came, by the way, I will mention that Dana Gould can be found doing the Lucha Vavoom, which is...
tonight?
It's a three-day Halloween wrestling extravaganza. Yeah, tonight through Thursday... 7 p.m. at the Mayan Theater. Just if memory serves, are we going on year 5 or so of this?
Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing. Has anybody seen any of this?
I've heard much fun is had.
Much fun is had by all.
I will say this unapologetically. It is my favorite thing that I do. I've done the show I don't know how many times. I've never once left that show and thought, okay, that's over. I always leave going, wow.
No, I've never seen
that's a night out.
It's like Mexican wrestling and comedy, right?
Yes.
And well, magic and... There's
no magic.
There was magic.
There'll be no raping.
But this is not just... I've never seen a Halloween version. This is a standard... This is a thing they do, right? At the Mayan?
Yes. Tonight?
It's wild, you guys. You have to go, especially with Dana Gould there.
tonight, a little person dressed as a goat will wrestle a muscular guy dressed as a chupacabra.
No, wow. I got to go to Vegas.
And
I can't
then
be there.
There's comedy?
And why you're not going to be there is inexplicable to me.
No, James Lipton, you, who else? Tom Kenny?
Yes, exactly. Could Chupacabra talk to us now? But tonight, actually, it's so funny. I often describe, tonight is Blaine Kopach and myself. Then it's the Sklar brothers and Blaine and Tom Kenny and Blaine on November 1st. But I always describe what Blaine and I do. It's sort of like what Joel Hodgson and those guys used to do at Mystery Science Theater.
Right.
During the wrestling matches, yeah. We just crack wise.
Right.
Okay.
Tonight, joining us, Joel Hodgson.
From Mystery Science Theater.
From Mystery Science Theater.
Neat.
Great guy.
Awesome guy. Oh, yeah, you know Joel.
Yeah, he worked over at Kimmel for a while.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and by the way, see,
skilled magician, not creepy.
I'm weird because I didn't go the normal route into comedy. I went a sort of construction route and not a
well,
nerd
really
route.
Two routes to being comedy. There's like the theatrical route and the construction route.
He built his own, you know, routine from the ground up.
I literally built my first stage
and then I stood on it.
I wish I could have built an audience. Most of the guys who worked at Kimmel were in awe of Joel because they're all Mystery Science 3000 or 2000 geeks. Mm-hmm. I was the only guy who hadn't seen the show because I labeled it nerd TV and I wanted no part of it.
TV's Frank is one of my closest friends in the world. I had no idea that you were...
No, they're all incredibly good friends of mine.
I think there's shows that lower your testosterone so you can't get laid.
And that's one of them.
I think nerd comedy does it, and I know that sci-fi will do it to you too. For instance, Dana, you watch way too much Planet of the Apes to have gotten laid during your formative years.
Yes.
That was the problem.
My children are adopted. Coincidence? Perhaps.
You watch...
Too much watching Mr. Show and...
You watch the A-Team and American Gladiators and you'll get laid.
Yeah.
It produces testosterone.
Yeah.
And women feel it. You know, that's how it works. They don't go off of looks. They don't go off of anything else. They just...
It's
a pheromone.
They can sense if you own a ladder.
Right, right.
Yeah. I can help you out here.
Yeah.
You can watch Geek TV, which will lower your testosterone, mm-hmm. and then I'll just go buy you more.
Danny buys some. But T...
And it's for Mexican showboats.
Danny has my testosterone.
Seriously.
As reminds not from the human kingdom.
Yeah. T, you're the chick working in the office, right? You're the attractive single girls working in the office.
One of those.
You're the Bailey Quarters.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
Thank
right.
You.
From WKRP in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're Bailey. You're the soft-spoken one that's flying under the radar but still hot. You're wearing glasses, but mm-hmm. we can see past them. Now, we both, Dana and I, come back on a Monday. He just watched a Mystery Science 3000 marathon. I watched the Ultimate Fighter marathon on Spike. And we both walk in Monday morning. You're like...
I can smell it.
You can smell it, right? We're giving it off, right?
I will say, yes. There's something to that, although I will say when I first moved to L.A., I was dating a comedian, unfortunately.
Yeah.
His name rhymes with Brian Dunkelman.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to take me to see Dana because Dana was who all the comedians looked up to. And I remember thinking that Dana was very cute.
I think I probably gave you this compliment every time you're here. But
I'm cute?
You're the only comic I ever asked if you would consider
writing. I remember that.
Ever in my whole life.
You said an interesting thing about my career that's a problem in my career, that all the comedians really liked me. My fan base was made up of the people that didn't have to pay to get in.
Right. They were in the back of the room.
It didn't really help my business.
Hey, but all those big-name comedians look... down or up.
Financially,
they look down, but spiritually, they're looking up
exactly
at you. Well, that's got to be cool.
I'm the Phil Oakes of alternative comedy.
I don't even know who that is.
He was like the folky that Dylan and all those guys liked.
Yeah.
But
I was swinging a hammer, nerd. Now, where were we?
I have a question for you, Dana. Now that you're married, you got a couple kids, they're adorable. Mm-hmm. What are they going to be for Halloween?
Oh, that's really... My three-year-old really wants to be Madeleine Albright, former head of...
Yeah. Get in line.
Yeah.
All the kids are trying to do that.
Yeah.
They're sold out over at the Quigley's or where the hell they sell those things.
And my five-year-old wants to be Magnesium. So I don't really know what's going on.
Wow, crazy. Now, let me ask you.
Various fairies.
I'm going to ask you a racially sensitive question. You bought your kids from another country, right?
My wife's wrist just sprained turning off the station.
They call it, you know, donating your eggs, but it's $5,000. I mean, look, it costs money, and you got some kids. I think it's a more noble. I mean, I bought my kids, too.
Exactly.
We did a fertility campaign.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it costs money.
But I've been very curious.
We bought our kids. You bought your kids. It's fine. We don't love them any less. I love them more.
What would you
like more? A car that you won on a game show or one that you saved up and bought?
You're right there. You're absolutely right there.
Okay, so the part is, let's not make it into a bad thing. I love my kids more. They cost me $50,000.
Really?
I don't know what they cost me, but they cost me money before they even came out.
But it's like that old saying about like the guy that never went to a prostitute. I never bought any. He's like, Chef, you got on a date? Yeah, you bought it.
Yeah, yeah. That guy. All right. Maybe it's the same
thing.
You
don't buy prostitution. You rent it.
Right.
You know, that's it. Somebody once, I think it was Dangerfield that
sounded like the voice of experience.
It is. Are you kidding me? Dangerfield put it best that hookers are the best business people in the world. They have a product, they sell it, and when it's over, they've still got it.
Right.
That's good business. Mm.
So you bought your kids. No, they cost. How much does it cost to adopt kids from a different country?
I don't know. I just stuck it on the Chevron card because that's where I get my miles.
Get the miles.
Oh my gosh, so, that's not a bad idea.
And now your kids are Asian, correct?
Yes.
All right. So now, do you work any kind of outfit based on that?
No.
Is there any tip of the cap to the heritage?
No, we thought there would be. Like we were told, like you have to get an Asian Barbie, and you have to, we gotta get a Mulan.
Right.
They certainly love Mulan, but no more than the Little Mermaid and
doesn't really matter.
No, and I've talked to, I have friends that are adults that were adopted from Asian countries, and they were like, when I was a kid, my Barbie looked like my mom.
My wife wanted to adopt twins, two girls from China. And she wanted to name them China and Asia. And I said, why would you do that to them?
Yeah, that's a terrible
thing. Why would you bring them to Encino, where they both want to be called Brittany, and name them China and Asia? Give them a break and call somebody Susie and be done with them.
I'm on your side.
We go nuts with that in our country. Like, if we get a panda bear, we have to name it Ling Su. And my feeling is, like, we're paying for it. We should be able to name it Mark.
Craig.
Yeah. And, by the way, do we have this policy? Like, when we lend the zoo in China a camel or a grizzly bear, you know they don't name it Fred or Brian. You know they give it their own crappy Asian name. I think we're getting screwed on this one.
You just said something that made me I know a way to quadruple the visitors to zoos.
How?
Mix and match the animals. Let's put the gorillas in with the lions and see what happens.
Nice.
I'd watch that.
It wouldn't last long, but it'd be a busy weekend.
But the crowd would be 7-18 people deep.
It'd be the Lucha Vavoom.
I did the same thing with zoos. With baseball. Just nobody ever puts the bat down. Everybody has a bat all the time.
Oh, I like that.
And when you steal second, you got to steal second, man.
Or like, let's have the Cleveland Indians play the New York Jets.
I like it.
We need to take a break. Dana Gould has brought a gift for us, which spawned a conversation we had out in the kitchen. We will reveal the gift that he's brought in and what is wrong with these holidays. Dana Gould is here. Lucha Vavoom is the name of his show. It's tonight through Thursday, 7 o'clock, Mayan Theater. If you like comedy, if you like midgets, if you like the chupacabra, this is your show.
There's no way to describe it. Even that didn't cover it.
You left out the strippers.
And strippers. We'll take a break. Back with Dana Gould next.
The ghost of Don Knotts, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Boo!
Dana Gould in studio. All those years working on The Simpsons. Now Lucha Vavoom. 7 o'clock at the Mayan Theater out here in downtown Los Angeles. Now, Dana brought a gift.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this at the store. It's a pumpkin carving power saw.
Yeah.
It's a hand saw, electrically powered or battery powered, to carve your pumpkin. Is anybody really losing that much time?
And isn't that, as I was saying, I get into this argument every year as it pertains to the fake Christmas tree. Everyone tells me how fast it is, how it's not a hassle, how it goes right back into the closet the day after New Year's, so on and so forth. And I say, the hassle is part of the experience. Right. Going down to the church, buying the tree that's $20 more than you wanted to spend, and it's 2 foot longer than it should be, so you have to strap it to the top of the car, and fighting with it to get it in the house, and having that trail of pine needles go from the front door to the Christmas tree stand, and the smell, and just that whole, just even dumping the water into it. The simple task of, it's been up for 4 days now, it's time to dump some water in, you got to get down around the base and move the little blankie, and you're smelling the thing, and something's hitting you in the eye, and that's Christmas.
Coming down the next day to see if it fell right.
Right.
That's an aspect of your trees that, hang on, I can't tell you how it's going to look till tomorrow. We got to let the branches fall.
Oh, it settles?
And don't forget the fire hazard. Also part of the tradition.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, the idea, it's like...
But it's like, come on, kids, it's Christmas. We're going to screw the tree together. Yeah. All the joy of putting in a new light bulb is now taken into tree.
Timmy, you get the 3/4 ratchet drive with the 1/2-inch extension and the 1/4-inch reducer. Chandra, go out to the garage, get Daddy his... Get him his Phillips, not a slot head, sweetie. Phillips head screwdriver with the ratcheting action. You bring that back, and Daddy's going to put together the robot tree.
We had a robot tree when I was a kid.
Did you?
For a bit.
Yeah. Kimmel has one. It bothers me. He stands by it. And now...
I would stand by it if it's silver. Like, if it's just grotesquely
The thing that's
fake.
Ironic is... For me, I always go, but it's the smell. I love the smell. Yeah. I love opening
the front tree things
that's
from it.
Violent. That's what you have to do.
For God's sake.
You have to hang up tree from the tree. No, they go, oh, now they have scent, too. And like, look, we could all hump robots in a few years. I don't feel like it's going to be as satisfying.
A few years.
Yeah. But I see Halloween.
What happened yesterday?
Halloween is my Christmas. And the same thing. I don't buy, like, you see fake jack-o'-lanterns with long. I like the smell of a burning pumpkin.
Yes.
You know,
the candle in there.
Yeah, and scooping out the guts of it.
I'm with you on that.
I want to go to a place. I was just to finish. I like to go to a place, same with Christmas trees, that has light bulbs on a string.
Yeah, you know, that's the beauty.
We go to the
bare
same
light
place.
Bulbs on a string.
That's the beauty of the lot, the guy. And again, if you're going to buy the tree... Let's really have the full experience. Don't go to the Home Depot or the IKEA and go out in the parking lot at high noon on a Tuesday with several thousand white people. You got to go to the lot.
I'm very excited.
Go somewhere where there's a trash can and things burning in it.
Yeah.
Some guy who's almost a drifter.
Yeah, well, that's it. You wonder, like, okay, in October you're selling pumpkins.
Yeah.
In December you're selling trees. What are you doing in March?
Plasma.
Selling kidneys.
What bags of green things do you sell during those months?
Yeah,
I will tell you, on the electric carver, see, my kid's 6 and can't do anything with a sharp thing. So a pumpkin worth carving is your whole day.
Well, Sunday we carved some pumpkins, and a thing I learned about my kids, they love stabbing.
Yeah.
Really?
I've never seen their faces light up more than I gave them here's one to stab.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a pumpkin to stab.
Yes, for stabbing.
Oh, my God.
It's very satisfying.
Just the
joy.
So now I'm going to get him a cat.
Good. Nice call.
So they're just dressed as Magnesium and Madeleine Albright stabbing at the pumpkin?
If you see 2 Chinese kids dressed as former secretaries of state stabbing a pumpkin, look for me behind them.
Yeah.
Now, do you take them out? Because I was kidding about something I said on the air, but then I got home and I started thinking about it, and my nanny, Olga, said, you know what, I think you're on to something, which is I want to take the kids out trick-or-treating. On the other hand, I don't feel like meeting strangers, and I can't cut them loose myself. I can't even do that stand at the curb thing and give the thumbs up to the guy who answers the door. I have to go to the door, and now I'll have to have a conversation with a neighbor, and that'll be uncomfortable. I've decided my kids really don't know the lay of the land as far as my house goes. They're too young. They're disoriented. I could easily just bring them to the front door of my house.
Well, wait,
I could put on a bath. I could put like a fez and a bathrobe on, and say, "Yes, young children." And then I would hand them some candy, and then I would tell the nanny to drag them around to the back door, right. And I would open the back door with a different outfit on, give them some candy, and we'll call the night.
Wait, well, how old are your kids? They're really
like 16, 17 months.
Yeah, they're not.
You have a side door.
I don't know what's going on.
You have a side door through the garage or something.
Bring them in through the garage. So, be a third house.
Three, four doors.
Yeah, be like we canvassed the neighborhood, and they never left their yard.
You can go to the closet. In their bedroom. Hello.
Hello. Welcome to my small bachelor apartment. Hold on.
I love that.
Yes.
That's a good, because I do the deal. I do the whole dress up and everything, and I even dress up as they wish me to, and last year I was, which bothered me, I was what was called a fat American tourist. And it's a blow-up suit that you wear, but it blows itself up constantly with a fan.
Wow.
And it keeps you gigantic. But it turned out to be so fun. This is like such rudimentary. This is not supposed to be comedy. This is just what happened. I had terrible gas.
Yeah.
But then I decided to tell people this thing comes with the stinky gas button. Push this button and then smell. And I had people push the button and I just hash. And then they'd put their nose in my suit.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God, that's awful. Where'd you get that? I won't.
What a wonderful world.
Yeah. When the button's Danny's nose, that's when you should get suspicious.
They'd squeeze this thing and I just hash and it would make the sound.
I couldn't help noticing that although you say it has a stink button, you're eating chili from a can.
Yes. I've
been poor. That's all I'm used to.
You're eating Dinty Moore stew and diet. Pepsi, and the stinky button has been surgically put into your index finger.
My kids,
I am feeling like this is a ruse, sir.
Dan, are you dressing up to take the kids?
See, yeah, although my kids are little, every year I dress up as an incredibly accurate depiction of the Black Dahlia's corpse. So I I do bum the kids out.
That is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, no, we're taking the kids. Again, we live in Studio City, so it's a beautiful place to go.
Yeah, you don't have to go anywhere.
No. Well, we do the grid.
Yeah, they go up. I won't tell you
where
Dana lives, but Dana can go up to the street called the Donnas, which are up from where he lives, as I've complained many times. Some genius decided to name every street in the hills of Studio City.
Right, yeah.
They thought it'd be a great idea to start them with the name Donna. So half the kids I knew lived on Donna Pegida, and the other half lived on Donna Sangria.
See, we call them the Donas, as in, don't want to live there.
Don't want to live there because don't know where the effa I am.
Yeah, it's all the same
because
thing.
When you
Donna Maria, Donna Pegida, Donna,
it's great when you're giving someone directions and you go, oh, you just head up Donna Pegida and you turn right on Donna Maria, and then Donna Dolores turns into a cul-de-sac. And when you're writing the directions, you write Donna three times and leave.
And to know what those shoes look like, the Donnas was the neighborhood in E.T. where they went trick-or-treating.
Oh, it is?
Filmed in the Donnas,
Is
that right?
Yeah.
I have a fantasy about finding the guy who came up with the world's worst idea, no matter what it is, whether it's a corporation. You know, there's certain businesses that's like, you go, why would you do that? Why would you put the rental cars on this side of the lot and then the rental checkout on that? It's like my fantasy is to get a running kickstart at that guy's groin. And I'd love to find the guy. There's probably a guy. Somebody's like Herb Wilson. He's 86 years old. He's retiring in Florida. And he'll tell me, I'm the guy who decided to put the same word in front of every street name in Studio City, and I'll go, Herb, nice to meet you. And then it is a flying steel-shanked boot right to the nutsack.
And there, if you go over
that's
that hill,
my fantasy.
If you go over that hill where the Donnas are and turn right, you'll be at the Birds, which are a much more expensive. That's where Seacrest lives, in the Birds.
Yes. You can
and
go to the Birds.
After all the Birds. And you have to turn right at Blue Jay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Ryan lives on Swallow. I'm not positive.
Blue Jay Way.
Yeah, exactly.
I rented a pad on Donna DeErico for a while. All right. Just had to get it in there. My other idea.
I rented a pad on Donna Pesco.
Donna Reed.
Okay.
All right. Let's stop.
I'll play the Donna game. Summer. Summer.
I had another idea, another one of my ideas, which was killing two birds with one stone. Speaking of living up in the hills, you get no cell phone reception up in the hills. It is one of the drawbacks. I don't know if you get it where you are, Dana. Maybe you're not high enough up. But once you get into a hill, your cell phone doesn't work anymore. But then I thought, those cell phone towers are always disguised as like palm trees or pine trees
or whatever. Those are.
And I thought, you know, half the people who live up in the hills have fake Christmas trees.
Mm-hmm.
If we heated up Kimmel's fake Christmas tree, I could get some cell phone reception up in the hills. Seriously, every third or fourth house you pass has a fake Christmas tree up where I live. Leave them up year-round.
Yeah.
Have AT&T or Sprint or Singular or whoever give these guys a stipend every month. They keep the tree up. They have the festive year-round. Sure, the kid has a tumor the size of a golf ball growing out of his forehead, but I get great reception driving to my house.
The kid urinates silk.
I'm so confused. May I just ask a question to the Gentiles? I thought that real Christmas trees were for rich people and fake ones were for poor people.
No.
I'm confused.
It kind of used to be that way. Fake Christmas trees used to be for white trash.
White trash, not necessarily poor.
It was an attitude.
White trash usually is poor, but it can also be an attitude.
The fake Christmas tree is the TV dinner tray of
decorations. My family, if you want to hear about effing Charlie Brown, and I am not going to exaggerate I will not exaggerate one iota here. I will tell you exactly the Christmas trees over at the Corollas, because the Corollas are the world's cheapest people, and the Christmas tree is a very difficult thing for you to wrap your 10-cent brain around, because you're buying something that is being thrown out. For the price of a pair of shoes, something that you could get 50 years use out of if you're a Corolla, or a bunch of used lawn furniture, you're buying something that's going to perish, and then you're going to have to toss it. So the Christmas tree, huge dilemma for the Corollas. I will tell you how the Christmas trees worked in the Corolla house. Three different ways. My grandparents had a potted rubber tree plant in their living room that we used to decorate. I didn't know how retarded, lame, or cheap it was at the time. Now that I think back on it, I realize how effing pathetic it was. But we used to go to my grandparents' house and decorate a goddamn rubber tree. And there's certain plants, perhaps a ficus or a fern, that could maybe pass if you were drunk and had a bad eye for a Christmas tree. But a rubber tree plant is not one of them. It's literally like a banana tree.
A wandering Jew would also be a bad plant to put up for Christmas to decorate.
I agree. The second thing we decorated one year was a branch from a pine tree. Mm-hmm. We had the world's ugliest, deadest, misshapen pine tree on the lawn of our North Hollywood house. My mother cut it down and leaned it. Now, what you don't realize about a pine tree branch, I'm going to cry.
This is really sad.
The pine tree has a shape, has a three-dimensional shape to it. The branch is flat as a pine board. I mean, you literally just lean it up against the wall. We didn't put it in a stand. We cut down the goddamn tree branch and we leaned it against the wall and we decorated it. Now, that was one year. Other years, and this is one of those why it costs money to be poor maneuvers, you could go up the street to the supermarket, to the Lucky's over on the corner of Laurel and Magnolia, and get a tree for $12. Or you could make the pilgrimage down to the train station where they unloaded the trees that went to Lucky's.
You get it for $11.50?
Right. All you had to do was, you had to contend with a couple of drifters that were trying to stab you. And some shifty guy that wanted to feel up the youngins.
Right. Yeah.
And drive 30 miles into the worst part of town. You'd go to the deepest, darkest regions of downtown South Central Los Angeles and buy a tree. You'd waste $9 in gas, probably get a blowout on one of the retreads that was on the square back while you sat in effing traffic with this monster tape, strapped to the side of the square back. But 2 days and $30 in gas later, you saved $4.
Right.
And that was the important thing. The important message was your time is worth nothing.
Right. Yeah, that's the message I get sometimes from your family when you tell a story.
That whole story made Dickens sound uplifting.
For the love of Christ.
My favorite was the year... Oh, go ahead.
No, you have to, sir.
My favorite was, and not so much tree-related, but the year my parents got a little too enthusiastic at the Christmas party and couldn't wrap our presents. So we come downstairs, and there's six of us, and there's just six piles of unwrapped gifts and two hungover people in their early 50s. That's your pile. That's your pile.
Stay out of your brother's pile, Dana.
Don't let me make any noise. Don't nobody make any noise.
No singing?
This is our tradition. This is one of our traditions. No Christmas stockings. A big, big lawn trash bag full of stocking stuffers. Four kids would line up on their knees on the floor. My father would stand about 20 feet back, reach into the bag, and pull out a toy.
And just...
You would all dive for it, literally beat each other, and get it. But there was even a caveat to that, because there were certain prizes in that bag that were obviously for a certain member of the family.
Right.
So if you fought and won... But it was really meant for John because John is the one that could do calculus or needed a new Bible.
Right, yeah.
Obviously, that one was John's.
Yeah.
Then you got beat by Dad for beating the wrong kid.
Well, at least he gave it to John and said, sorry, Danny, but Terry got your glasses.
How about presents nobody wants? We used to go to Uncle Gabby's house. Don't ask. He's Hungarian, not an actual family member.
Everything.
But we would go to Uncle Gabby's house for the grab bag. Now, the grab bag is...
This story sounds, I'm sure, worse than it really is.
Uncle Gabby's house for the grab bag.
Uncle Gabby's grab bag, you say.
Also sounds like something your agent would threaten you with if you were going to leave. Yeah, you want to go? Yeah, I'll see you in Deep Cable on Uncle Gabby's grab bag. All right, enjoy. So, now here's a very dangerous thing to do. The grab bag is the gift that no one puts their name on.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Now, when you take nine of the world's cheapest adults and challenge them to go out and buy a gift where they don't have to have their name attached to it, because let's face it, if you're buying a wedding gift and the couple knows who it came from, then you got to step up. If you don't put your name on it, you're getting half a toaster, right? So now these people are the world's cheapest people, my family, and now they don't have to put the name on the gift. Just go buy it. And the gifts would all get spread around the table, and we'd sit around them, and you'd do that thing where, like, Dad, it's your turn. Get the bag. You know, you'd feel it. You'd shake it. You'd whatever. I kid you not, I picked out a gift from my dad. Get the one over there. I shook it. I got a feeling about it. Opened it up. It was a shrimp deveiner. It was one shrimp deveiner. First off, when you're nine, shrimp deveiner, not in your top 10 of gifts you'd like to have, but not probably top three or five. It had a little plastic picture of a shrimp, a little plastic shrimp handle on it.
Yeah.
And then it stuck up and had a weird sideways fork to it. It was for removing the veins from the shrimp. Now, no one had told...
Not dissimilar from the pumpkin carving power saw.
Not, except for no practical application in the Corolla house,
right.
Since shrimp was $6 a pound and
shrimpers.
Considered exotic cuisine to us. I've never ate a piece of shrimp until I was 26 years old.
And
nobody bought shrimp at the Corolla house.
You've also described perfectly an escargot fork, which has the little snail piece on the bottom, the thin rod, and then the two little horns. It's the exact same. Somebody is robbing you and painting a shrimp snail car.
Like the shrimp defamer, everybody.
My aunt was always like that. We've got the kids a kit. They can make their own light bulbs.
Everyone loves a Heath kit. We'll take ourselves a break. Lucha Vavoom, everybody, at the Mayan Theater.
You can try, but you can't do it justice. Go ahead, Corolla.
That is tonight through Thursday. Dana Gould, God bless.
God bless.
Tickets at Ticket Web.
God bless. When we come back, Now, you know what? I don't want to play that clip. I want to put that aside for a second. We're going to do some gay walking. I want to play a clip that I got from Entertainment Tonight. Don't play it. But It's the talk to Janet Jackson and Jermaine Dupri about getting married. It is insightful and revealing. We'll play that for you next.
Dateline, Elyria, Ohio. A 45-year-old man attempted to steal the customer's wallet at a convenience store. When he was caught, he began attacking the customer by removing and swinging his prosthetic leg. Definitely not a Jew.
Good times. Well, I was watching. It must have been extra. Probably at the end of last week. I've been sitting on this thing for a little bit. They went and talked to Jermaine Dupri. Oh, by the way, Jermaine Dupri is, I guess, a music producer who's Janet Jackson's, I don't know what, boyfriend, fiance. They're not married.
He's her secret lover.
toss in to the magic porn box there, T, Jermaine Dupri, because it just struck me he has a book that's coming out. His book is called, like, Handsome, Rich, and Dangerous or something. His tales. It's basically some sort of autobiography, except for it's called Rich, Dangerous, and Talented. Or something. It's a horribly narcissistic mess, I'm sure. You find the name of it, you'll get a nice laugh. But he's a very candid man. He's an open book, speaking of books. And when the entertainment folks caught up, the cameras from Extra caught up to Janet Jackson and Jermaine and asked them about their wedding, well, it was very revealing. Do you have...
Oh, yeah. I just typed into the magic porn box. Mm-hmm. His new tell-all memoir is entitled Young, Rich, and Dangerous, The Making of a Music Mogul.
Wow.
Nice.
That's Young, balls, Rich. Man. I'm going to name my book Young, Rich, and Dangerous. It's going to be about me.
Right.
Well, you know, yeah,
no problem.
We got it in it. We named our kids
Tyra.
Count and Countess. Oh, yeah. We took living people and did that to them.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not rampant out there.
I wanted to name them, though. I had a practical idea when I did it.
I want to name both his kids me.
Actually,
literally, not Danny,
now.
Just me.
Nope. Wanted to name them Judge and Doctor.
That would work.
Huge time saver. Huge money saver. Get a good table in a restaurant. Dr. Balducci, Judge, Your Honor. Your Honor would have been good, too.
Your Honor, yeah.
All right. Should have named them The People and Versus. Now, where were we? Ah, that's right. The clip. So this is Jermaine and this is Janet. We'll see we'll find out whether they're getting married or not.
Will they or won't they? A playful and candid Jermaine Dupri and Janet Jackson delivered nuptial news to Extra.
We'll see whatever happens.
What's this nuptial news?
Well, I wonder where they're registered.
I gotta know.
Let's hear that again. Let's see.
Bed Bath and Blowhard.
Will they or won't they? A playful and candid Jermaine Dupri and Janet Jackson delivered nuptial news to Extra.
We'll see whatever happens.
We'll see whatever happens. Not exactly
news.
That's nuptial news.
Bed Bath and Beyond expectations. That's lovely.
We'll see what happens. Woo! Stop the presses.
Damn. I want to get off.
I know, but we know when they tease a story, they're coming back with nothing, but we stay through the commercial.
I know. I wonder if she can shed any light on any other topics that vex this society. Like, Janet, we think Iran may have a nuclear device.
We'll see whatever happens.
Wow.
Okay. Are we ever going to get out of this quagmire in Iraq?
We'll see whatever happens.
It's unlikely that you'll gain 75 pounds again.
We'll see whatever happens.
I'm betting on that one.
Danny Bonaducci invents cure for AIDS.
We'll see whatever happens.
Is Al Gore running for president?
We'll see whatever happens.
By the way, it's not actually a cure. I've just become immune.
She's the magic 8-ball of black entertainers.
Fine.
Yeah, I thought I had the magic 8-ball.
We'll see. He did, but he sucked it up in the 80s. We'll see whatever happens. I'm just saying this about Janet Jackson.
We'll see whatever happens.
I am more animal than human.
Yeah.
I am, as I've said, I'm like the dog of the good-looking blind chick from the 80s movie where the guy comes back and says, I'll help you fix your computer. And the dog starts growling because I know the guy's a bad guy. And when he comes to the apartment, and she's like, Chili, be quiet. He never growls at anybody. But I know something. I feel that way about the whole Jackson family. When I see Papa Jackson, Joe Jackson, with that Carnival Barker penciled-in mustache from the turn of the century, and then crazy mom, face painted on, weird, just vacant stare, and I see all the Jackson brothers and sisters, I think something's wrong with these people. Something horribly is wrong with them. I don't know what was done to them. The imagination reels. But whenever I see Janet Jackson, and I see her on, like, Oprah or something, she just looks like she wants to get up and leave. Just
like
she just wants to run out of the building. And it's weird that she's an entertainer.
And it's a good one when she's doing what she does. But some people, as you have said, can't bring it. She can bring it to a stage. She can't bring it to this room.
It's just weird that there's somebody who seems more uncomfortable around human beings than any other individual I've ever met wants to stand in front of throngs of human beings and do something for them. Maybe it's a way of escaping being a human being. But one-on-one, whether it's Michael or Janet or Jermaine or Tito or Germajesty. As a super Jewish Teresa Strasser would pronounce it.
It looked correct.
It seems weird. They just seem bumped. And now Janet hooked up with the guy who's written himself some memoirs at age 29, by the way, or whatever age he is, about being young and rich and
dangerous.
Powerful and dangerous. And dangerous. I think I may have to get Terry.
To take who? The whole family?
You know what? I'm going to start with Joe.
No. Start with, don't waste Terry on this one. Start with me. Old, broken, pissed.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll write my memoirs. We'll go over. I'll have a talk with Joe. If Joe doesn't straighten out, then you just take us. He's going to need the extendo wings to get Joe.
But think about this family.
Well, someone's going in the volcano.
Yeah,
it's you.
I can't
take him all the way to the volcano. I, you know, there's certain things I can do and certain things I can't. I can't get Joe to the volcano.
T?
I was just going to say that imagine that LaToya is the third weirdest person in your family. That's weird.
Wow. Hold on a second. I got to do that. Hold on.
Do you know I'm the third weirdest child?
And she's not the weirdest.
I'm the third weirdest child, and the weirdest, in my opinion, is a choir director and teaches at Notre Dame. He just has acquired the ability to maintain it completely, where you would never know unless he decided to tell you. He's a perfectly well-adjusted man on the outside and can control it. But when you get the serious weirdness, his IQ is off the charts. And when he gets scary, it's the scariest thing in the world.
We'll see whatever happens.
I'm still trying to think about LaToya
being the third strangest.
She used to dress like that in the captain's hat and stuff at school.
You knew her?
I went to school with all the Jacksons. I mean, Michael gets all the credit. But if you read my book, there's one point he was on Dance Fever, one of those shows. And the host said, Don Cornelius, so Saul Soldrin. And he goes, hey, do you go to school with any other celebrities? He goes, Danny Bonaducci goes there. And he said, oh, what's he like? And he said, all the teachers hate him and he likes to fight a lot. So I was home watching on TV.
That's the worst Don Cornelius I've ever heard in my life.
I go in the school, and from the center of the school, it's two, like, octagons, if you will, of little classrooms. So there's 80 students, so you can hear from one spot, everybody in the school can hear, and I yelled, Jackson, get out here. I'm going to kick your ass right now. Well, there's billions of these guys. Jackson started flying out of everywhere. They were going to kick my ass with choreography. There's a bazillion Jackson. There's no Jackson 5. There's Jackson 52.
Yeah.
They were everywhere, these guys. But LaToya would dress like that to go to school with the hat and the white and all that
really?
Stuff.
Really?
Yep. She was out there. She made me look okay.
Even though she seems kooky, she seems sweet.
Oh, you're right.
I'm still trying to wrap my mind around her being the third weirdest person in my family. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Tommy Lasorda, really known as the 10th Jackson.
Then I want to be the 5th Beatle.
He's really, if he's not an actual Jackson, he should be. I mean, he's really, they're just cut out of the same cloth. Tommy Lasorda the legendary skipper of the Dodgers is going to be on the show next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
Well, I may be wrong, but that's my goddamn job. I'll make the f***ing decision here. I don't give a f***.
L.A. Dodgers Hall of Famer Tommy Lasorda is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to speak to you as usual, Tommy.
How could you play that stuff?
Because it's funny and embarrassing. Hey, Tommy.
How you doing, Adam?
Doing great. Did you have fun at the Feast of San Gennaro?
Yeah, it was good. Very good. You know, I thought it turned out extremely well. We had a lot of people there, and it was great.
Yep, I remember where I was when Jimmy said, we need to have a Feast of San Gennaro in Los Angeles. And he was right.
Yes. And, you know, when you pull all of them together, Tony Danza, Joe Montana, you and Jimmy, and that's great.
It was.
We were able to do that and bring it out there because when we were back there, when we lived back there, we celebrated it to a great highest degree.
Well, it's a big deal on the East Coast. And speaking of that, no Little Italy in Los Angeles. I've lamented this many times. We have a Little Ethiopia, which I'm sure is a huge crowd pleaser. But what about
a tiny crowd pleaser.
But what about a Little Italy? And Tommy Lasorda, who better than you to spearhead this movement of starting a Little Italy?
I think it would be great. I you know, when I go to San Diego, I go to Little Italy in San Diego.
That is pathetic. Beach cities have Little Italies, and we don't.
Some of us feel that wherever Mr. Lasorda pulls his car over
is
in fact Little Italy until he pulls out again.
Maybe Tommy Lasorda is Little Italy.
Well, that'd be good. Tell you that.
Try the calzones. Hey, Tommy, I Live for This is the name of Tommy's book. Tommy is a joy to be around. He's like everybody's uncle who's just a good time. I'm sure not everybody you coached always felt that way, but he is just an endearing presence is what I would call him, and a guy who's managed to make a nice living doing exactly what he wants his whole life, meaning his passion.
Hence never working a day in his life, according to that
expression. Yes, do you feel that way, Tommy?
Well, that's what I try to tell people, Adam. I said, you want to know who I am? I'm just an ordinary guy who was fortunate enough to do what he loved to do all of his life, and it's baseball. And I in the book, it expresses that. It starts out from where I began when I left Norristown at the age of 17 to play professional baseball for $100 a month to all up until now, which is a road of many, many stop signs, many wonderful times, and I've enjoyed this life so very, very much. And for people to read that book, they should understand that America is the greatest place to ever live. You can be anything you want to be in America. All you have to do is work at it. All you have to do is believe in it. And this is what this book is all about. I mean, loyalty. 58 years with the Dodgers, 57 Jeez. Married. Einstein once said that an ounce of loyalty is worth more than a pound of knowledge. And this book relates to that. It relates to a life of a young man coming from a wonderful family, but not too much money, and five sons my father and mother had, and I'm not where I am today.
Well, Tommy, have you ever, and how about a man who's now getting into the twilight years, a more seasoned man with a dream of starting a Little Italy in Los Angeles so that I could go somewhere and get some decent pasta. But,
right.
Tommy, have you ever had what I would call a civilian job? I mean, maybe you had a paper route when you were 13, but after you entered minor league baseball at 17, have you ever had a regular job after that?
No. My last job that I had, I was 16 years old when I signed my first professional contract, and I worked on the railroad for 55 cents an hour. 10 hours a day, changing track, putting new track down, and working hard in the heat of the summer.
And that was in, like, 1944. So we're just knee-deep in World War II.
Right.
You're back east. You're 15, 16-year-old Tommy Lasorda.
Right.
Toiling, doing the jobs they claim white people won't do anymore. But I always say this, as long as there's poor people, there'll be people to do those jobs. Whatever color their skin is, as long as they're poor.
Broke.
I know, because I come from the lucrative world of carpet cleaning.
That's right.
Where I was the white guy cleaning the carpets, not because I was white, because I was poor.
That's right. We had to work. When school would end the next morning, my mother's shaking me. Hey, wake up. Go out and get a job.
Right. And that was the last gig you had. And his boss is still waiting for him to return because he never officially quit.
By the way, there's another reason to work that hard. And
I'm going to tell you something else.
Yeah.
The Lasorda wine is out now.
Oh.
Every bottle comes from Italy.
Really?
Oh.
Do you own a vineyard there?
Outstanding. From different places, not from one vineyard, from different places.
Now, what do you do? Now, umpires throughout the Major League Baseball have heard the Lasorda wine for many years, but I've never sampled it myself. What do? You do Pinot Noir? What else? What do you do?
We have about 2.5 months ago, Adam, at the International Wine Tasting in Orlando, Florida, our Chianti Classico finished number one, and our Chardonnay finished number three.
Sweet. And where do we grab these?
You all have to do is go to the internet, TomLasordaWine.com.
And you can buy some Lasorda wine.
Absolutely.
Support a great American, a baseball legend, and a paisan. I live for this. Name of the book. Tommy, come in and see us in person when you can.
I would love to, Adam.
Always great to speak to you, Tommy. Take care of yourself. Tommy Lasorda, great guy. And he told me he could make a Major League Baseball player out of me last time I talked to him, and I now fell deeper in love with the man.
Do you think that's possible? I've seen movies about it. Wait, 42?
Oh, not now. He meant
back in
if
the
he
day.
Got hold of me when I was 18 or 19.
Would you say you were a utility player?
Would I have been?
I think he said that.
He said, because Jimmy and I went to Vero Beach and tried out with the Dodgers some years ago, and Tommy was impressed, to say the least, at the ace man's ability. He said that if he could have worked with me and thrown me 1,000 curveballs a day, that I could have been in the major leagues.
Instead, they got me for that job.
I have no. Yeah.
Is there any Bonaduce? I got a job for you. I want you to throw Corolla 1,000 curveballs a day. Okay.
And Danny said, I'll make it 1,500. T.
Yep.
What's in the news, baby girl?
What are the most popular criminal nicknames in Florida? And a husband and wife DUI team that you will fall in love with.
Good times.
Nice.
All right. So Florida, most popular, do you say nickname?
Criminal nicknames.
So
you're in jail,
right.
They don't call you Adam. They call you.
In the 40s, it would have been Lefty.
Yes.
Or Dutch. Lucky or something like that.
Right.
It's funny when a guy's behind bars is like, hey, Lucky. Yeah. Yeah, I got a four-leaf clover up my ass.
Hey,
yeah,
Lucky, I'm so Luciano, lucky. Nice complexion.
Yeah.
You got lucky with that complexion, Lucky.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Back with the news next. Zero gravity environment, all your muscles just start falling apart. You start atrophying, and then you come back to the Earth's atmosphere, and you're crushed by your own weight.
Mad props to the hood, yo.
Your lungs pinched your liver, the weight of them, and they crushed you. You get used to that teleprompter, and then it goes out, and you're like, up. You no longer have the ability to speak.
True that, peeps.
I've told people that were auditioning for shows that all said, I can't do the teleprompter. I just can't do it. I can't do it. But it was talk shows, like variety shows. And I said, here's what you have to remember. We're back, and we'll be back after this. Anything else is gravy. If you get those two things out of your mouth, that's all your prompter is going to need. That's all you need it for. I mean, people would like their specifications. It's timing with Sword is coming up next. He's worked this long, blah, 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 blah. But if you forget all that and flip out, you can just go, and we'll be right back, and you won't believe what you're going to see.
Yeah.
And you get away with it.
I love that one. Yeah. All right. T.
Yep.
News, baby girl. Fire up the prompter.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
24-year-old Catherine Ann Olson of Minneapolis responded to a Craigslist ad looking for a nanny last Thursday, and she never came back. She was found dead on Friday night, stuffed into the trunk of her car at a nature preserve in Savage, Minnesota. Here, her family talks about what a kind, trusting person she was.
She's such a kind person that she would trust everybody.
She always assumed the best about other people and assumed the best out of this visit that she made Thursday morning. And if it didn't work, she assumed that she'd be able to turn around and leave and come home. And it didn't work out that way.
I think the guy who killed her was like 19.
A 19-year-old. He's been held since Saturday, and he could be charged today.
Worked at the airport. We do a lot of checking of people passing through the airport. I like to check up on the people that work at the airport.
Right.
Have you seen these people lately?
Have you seen? They've done some of that on 2020.
Yeah.
They've got credentials so they can walk off and on the plane. They've been paroled three times.
Yeah. The folks that work at the airport scarier than any terrorist trying to get through the airport, number one. Number two, when you find a guy who's 19 and he just thought it'd be a cool idea to put an ad out on Craigslist so we could know what it was like to kill somebody. Let's just kill him. Please, let's just kill him.
You know
he's 19.
Feelings.
We're going to keep this guy in prison for, what, 60 years, 65?
14 years is the average. On death row?
Oh, on death row. Yeah. But, I mean, he's going to sit there forever. Yeah. And then eventually he's going to have some sort of bypass surgery when he's 74, and that's going to cost us 50 grand. Let's just kill him.
My theory
something's
is
wrong with him. It's not going to be right.
You should make the witness stand. And if you make a mistake, so what? You should have something. You should make the witness stand the electric chair. And the guy's up there giving his last thing, and the jury says, we find the defendant guilty of first-degree murder. The judge whacks a gavel, except this time on a different button, and it fries him right there on the spot.
Yeah.
That's it. Just, you know, no putting on death row, carnival. Just getting them to and from court costs millions of dollars a year.
The problem with that, Danny Dershowitz, is when Rusty the bailiff is talking to the judge, and they have an expert witness on there, and he leans on the thing that fries the
you
expert
know what?
Witness.
If anybody that
that's
starts,
the problem with that?
That's the problem.
If anybody
that's
starts,
the
that's the only
that.
Problem.
If anybody starts their title with expert and leans on the button that kills them,
no,
they weren't an expert.
Rusty the bailiff leans on it.
Oh, that makes more sense.
In my elaborate fantasy world. Yeah, look, he's 19. He Fry wanted him. To kill somebody. And look, if you're 19 and it's a crime of passion and your girlfriend is sleeping with your best friend and you get drunk and you catch him in the act and you hit the guy with a lamp and he dies, we can talk.
Yeah.
But if you decide, hey, I'm going to put a list, I'm going to put a note on Craigslist so an anonymous stranger can come to my house and I can kill them so I can get that rush or that sensation, I'll give you a little sensation. You want a sensation? You want a rush? You want to know what it's like to kill somebody? How about what it's like to watch people when you die? There's a rush.
Too macabre for a morning show, but the question would arise, firing squad of one. You have no doubt in your mind he did it. He did it. He put it on Craigslist, and they said, okay, that's the way you want it, Corolla. You kill him. Face to face. Could you do it?
Yes.
Me too.
I have no problem.
No
with
problem.
It. I'm not even violent. I love life so much, I want people killed. Write it down. I think that 24-year-old girl's life was so precious
right.
that this guy needs to die. It's not that I want to see people die. I want to see people live. I love life. And when you take innocent people and you kill them, then you have just forfeited your life.
Absolutely.
You forfeited your right to live. There's no worse crime, obviously, you can do to a human being or a family. It's the greatest insult. I mean, if you think about
yep.
it, I know it's an insult, doesn't sound right either, but getting your car stolen is horrible. Getting your house, whatever, stolen. Getting things taken from you or robbed from you or stolen or vandalized is horrible. Your life is ended. Someone, this woman had another 60 years on this planet. And it's
children
gone.
And grandchildren.
And it's
have.
Gone just for fun. Just
yeah.
for just to see what it was like. Fine, that's what you want to do? Great, we caught you. Now
It's our turn to
you
have a little fun.
I want to have a good time with you.
Because in a firing squad, one of the guns has a blank in it. So everybody can assume I didn't really kill the guy. They can sleep at night going, okay, maybe it was me that had the blank.
Well, unless you get the one with the flag that says bang, in which case you know unequivocally.
But if a guy put a thing on Craigslist just so he could kill someone for fun, I'd swap till I got the bullet.
Yes.
You know, I'd want to make sure I did my fair share.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't enjoy putting a gun into anyone's head, but I'm fine with this guy not being around. Sorry, T, go ahead.
Well, if he does go to jail, well, he probably isn't there now. He may meet some criminals with some unusual nicknames. Police departments all across the country are starting to build up databases of criminal nicknames, which makes sense because informants on the street, especially gang informants, are way more likely to know someone's nickname than their real name.
Right, that's totally true, especially with gangs. Yeah.
In Delray Beach, Florida, the police have compiled a list of the most common criminal nicknames in their database.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Number one, Graham Wellington.
Graham Wellington.
A lot of Iras.
No, you know what? You know we're not going to find it because I was thinking we're going to find like fingers for safe crackers and stuff, but we're talking gangsters, right? We're going to have a guy named
bangers.
Ghost.
A guy's name Squeak.
Yeah.
These are criminals in the Delray Beach, Florida criminal database.
What
the most the most popular name, this is amongst men 19 to 44, Peanut.
Mm, yeah, it's good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Then why won't she answer the phone?
Second, Big Man.
Yeah.
Mm.
Then comes Champ and Pee Wee.
I'm trying to use the phone!
Also, speed, Betty Boop, Bebop, Bam Bam, and Beanpole.
Bam Bam.
Let's
bam.
Not forget Buttercat, Boy George.
Boy George.
Yeah. Horsehead, Chicken Man, Guy Boy, Weasel, Tweet, Scarface, Snake, Stinky, Donkey Weed, Drunk Mo, and Snow.
He's not a Mo.
We'll do the math on Snow. The one white guy in there. James Washington Carver would be so proud if he knew that Peanut was the name of most of the folks that are incarcerated.
Now, how about this, about a husband and wife DUI team? Around 11:20 p.m. on Saturday night, a man from Northville, Michigan, about 25 miles west of Detroit, whose name has not been released, was driving Peanut. Yeah, now he's called Peanut, or maybe Snow. I haven't seen him. He was driving with his 12-year-old son, and he got pulled over for running a red light. The cops gave the man a breathalyzer test, and he blew a .11, which is over the legal limit, of course, of .08. He was arrested for driving under the influence. Then the cops told the boy, 12-year-old boy, to call his mother to pick him up. So he did. And a few minutes later, his mom, whose name also hasn't been released, got there. She had her 9-year-old daughter in the car. And just like her husband, she was drunk.
It wasn't Beanpole.
What did she blow?
So the cops gave her a breathalyzer, and she blew .13.
You know, when I'm in charge,
yeah,
one of the first orders of business
yeah,
is to go ahead and get that moved up.
Yes.
Just for the holidays.
Right.
That's what I'm going to sell initially. just it'll be, mid-October through the first of the year. A lot of people going to Christmas parties, a lot of company parties and things like that. People consuming eggnog and buttered rum and things of this nature. No reason why it shouldn't be adjusted. Just like, you know, hotel will have peak season and off season.
Yeah, it's drinking season.
It's drinking season. The weather's cold. The leaves are turning. Let's go ahead and go from .08. I feel like people's tolerance goes up a little bit. We drive a little better. Let's go to .10. That'll be my first order of business. So don't worry, Bonaducci. Eventually, it'll be like taxes. You know, when you do that thing where you go, let's just put 0.5% on to help out the victims of the wildfire, and then 10 years later, it's still there.
Right.
It'll be like that. Eventually, we'll get it bumped up to 1.0. I'm just saying, for now, it's a seasonal thing.
Okay, what should it be for the season? 1.0?
I'll go 1.0 for the season.
1.0, 1.2.
But again, baby steps.
Okay, I say, like, Mel Gibson, I'm not mad at him for the stuff he said. I'm mad at him for not being nearly drunk enough to say such stupid things. At a .08... I could perform brain surgery.
I got hammered.
You were to hang with me and say stupid stuff to people who can beat the crap out of you. You need to be blowing it, too.
I like the idea that you can be yourself on the road.
Well, between
the greatest drop
it
ever.
Really is. Between the mom and the dad.
I'm gay.
Dad was .11. Mom was .13.
Uh-huh.
Together, that makes, .24?
That makes a 2.4, yeah.
Yeah, .24.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, that's really drunk. For one guy, a 2-4, that's drunk.
So she was just sitting home drinking while he was out.
He was out drinking with the 12-year-old, and she was home drinking with the 9-year-old. So she went to pick up the kid.
Taking the kid to kegger practice?
Well, someone's got that carpool that day was hers.
Habits die hard, I guess.
The kids were turned over to a relative. The parents were released the next morning.
What are the chances the relatives weren't drunk? You know what I mean?
Between that whole family.
All right. They're
soaked in alcohol.
Yeah, like all of them.
So be it.
Let's talk about Britney.
You can't judge. That's what I've learned.
You cannot judge.
That is
judge.
What you've learned, Adam. When I talk about you and describe people and say people say, what's it like to work with Corolla? I go, first thing, you can't judge.
Does not judge.
You will not tolerate it.
I may do a little judging. Let's talk Britney.
Let's talk Britney.
That whore?
I think some of her friends have asked that you boycott her work until she gets her life together.
Tough okay. Love. I'm in.
What friends? Chris Angel and a 700-pound bodyguard?
Friends of Britney.
Uh-huh.
Her album, yes, Blackout. This is her first studio album since In the Zone was released in 2003. This is actually getting fairly decent reviews.
Well, again, the people talking about this like, hey, this is her best work or her best whatever. I don't know who writes these songs. I don't know if she co-writes the song. They all just sound...
Timbaland protege Nate Donja Hills.
Yep.
Is there any 19-year-old... Are there 500 19-year-old chicks in Florida who could do this, no problemo, who are working at Applebee's? I mean, if you put them with the producer and you put the synthesizer and you put the right mixture and somebody writes the song and they process the voice and everything, like, I don't know if this is good or bad because I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like there are 8 chicks on this floor that could do this.
I say no, sir.
You say no.
There are not 500 19-year-olds at Applebee's who could do this, because then where would you put customers?
Oh, you're saying we need them to work.
Yes, we need them to work at Applebee's and stay there.
Yeah, I don't know if
this one just broke through the net. That's all.
I don't know if, yes, I agree. I don't know if this is good or bad. It's not her song. It's synthesized. She couldn't do it in person because it'll all be lip synced. So what is the deal? I mean, it's like, I don't know, Max Headroom or something. I know that's a crazy late 80s reference, but it's some synthesized. I mean, here's what it is. If there was a comedian, let's just say there was a stand-up comedian, and the stand-up comedian never performed live. He just recorded comedy albums, but he didn't write his comedy material. And the stuff was done and layered and mixed and sweetened with laughter. And he never would perform live. And when he did, he would lip sync his own jokes, but they weren't his jokes. All the jokes were written by some other joke writers. Could you really go, well, this guy's a talent, or I'm a big fan of this guy? You'd be going, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know if he's actually funny. I'm assuming since everyone else is writing the songs and they can't be performed in real life, just like you would perform, or just like you would assume about the comedian who somebody wrote all the jokes for and who could never perform his act in real life, you would just go, I guess I could do that.
Well, at least, but the comedian who never performed live and people wrote all his jokes at least could claim to be a narrator.
Yes.
You know, at the very least, he is a narrator of humor. I don't know what you would classify Britney Spears
well,
as.
Well, here's what Billboard had to say. You almost have to throw out the rule book when you evaluate her. You might think the attention she has got does not bode well, but the first single has been very well received. The New York Times called
the
album...
Hold on a second. Yes. Quick clarity. That was a guy named Bill... Board. B-O-O-R-D. Billboard.
Jeff Mayfield of Billboard had that to say. But the New York Times called Blackout bracingly unapologetic. Slithery come-ons and defiant invitations. Another review says it's not only a very... Another review says it's not only a very good album, it's her best work ever, for what that's worth. And a review from Philly.com says it's a smartly produced, sleekly effective exercise in state-of-the-art escapist dance pop.
That's a guy who makes cheesesteaks. Whose next question is, how much Velveeta? That's the guy from Philly.com. Look, I guess in some sort of synthesized, alternative, non-real, kind of experimental, do-it-in-the-studio way, she can create a good product. I just feel like that's anybody. That's why you have producers and synthesizers, and why you do this dubbing and the overlaying and all that crap.
She's the chef who can't cook.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything to me. She's not an artist.
Do you remember when Andy Warhol stopped painting and just told people what to paint and then would sign his name?
Yes,
that's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, all the hating? I mean, what's going on,
Do you think this producer couldn't get any chick who had a feminine voice, get her into the studio and recreate this?
I think you could get this chick into the studio.
I agree that a team of good producers could make Danny sound like Britney, but the public is fascinated by Britney, and that's kind of a good song.
All right.
Oh, they kind of like playing Wiener.
But the good news for you, Adam, is that the Eagles are dropping a new double CD. The Long Road Out of Eden.
No, it's okay, Adam. She means real Eagles, and they're dropping a load from the sky, and it's only going to damage your paint, not your life.
Ironically, I got to get Terry out to drop an eagle into a volcano.
Now that's interesting.
Let's find out if Glenn Frey can fly.
That was the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. CNN.
All right. Now, gay walking. Well, this isn't quite gay walking. This is reverse gay walking. Mm. We took pre-op board op Bill, sent him down to Camacho's to talk to some Raiders fans. And it's a gay man asking straight men gay questions.
This will be fun.
Reverse gay walking. Get your money out. We'll play it next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where usually we send Gay Bill the Board Op out to the streets of West Hollywood to see if gay men know what straight guys know. This time, we mix things up and send him out to Camacho's in the City of Industry to find out if those who fly the Raider flag know the same things as those who fly the rainbow flag. It's reverse gay walking on the Adam Carolla Show.
A lot of brown guys in black jerseys. That's what I remember about Camacho's. All right, true Raider fans out in Camacho's.
I had a really good time in Camacho's.
That's the difference between us. See, Danny, I got to show you how not to have a good time almost everywhere you go.
Dude, they had those perfect push-up things, and I had a Lycat climb on my back and then beat a huge jock at a push-up contest.
I could have been miserable doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you could
have.
Yeah.
You're unhappy, right?
Yeah. I'm miserable sitting on a cloud of marshmallows, toasting champagne with Jesus.
You know what it is? Somebody one time asked me on a talk show, they said, it was a civilian, like a doctor, and they said, aren't you nervous when that little red light goes on the top of the camera? And I said, no. That's when I know exactly what to do. But when that light goes off, I'm a train wreck, and I have no idea how life works. And at Camacho's, we're out there with our fans and our listeners, and we know what they want. They want to party and hang, and it's all good.
They want your soul. Right, T?
They can have it.
Oh, I was dreading it already the night before because I'm especially uncomfortable if people like me and want to see me because I can't understand why.
Well.
Okay, I will take any appearance you are asked to do anytime and do it for you.
Thank God they're all there to see John and Jeff, so you dodge that bullet.
Well, you know what's weird, speaking of this bit we're about to do, is that there actually was a gay couple there, because I think they're the only people that came out specifically to see me, and it was my best moment of the day. They came by and said, we just want to meet you, and we're fans, and it was lovely.
Neat.
And then the crowd beat the holy ass out of them and dragged them behind a pickup truck back to Arlita.
And I feel partially responsible.
Yeah, you really shouldn't have pointed it out with the microphone that way.
Hey, look, my gay. I'm so sorry.
All right, so let's get to this. Everyone get out your $20. Reverse gay walking. Do we have an intro, by the way, Bald Brian?
Gay walking. Gay. Bill wants to know if you know all the things straight guys should know. You're homosexuals. It's time for gay walking, because you are gay.
See, I'm happy now.
See?
Maybe if Rich Banks could just stand next to me and just go, la, 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 la.
I will move into Camacho's and broadcast from there daily.
All right, so first question.
Before it was a musical, Hairspray was a movie directed by who?
All right, we are asking straight Raiders fans from Camacho's who directed Hairspray.
Now everybody in this room knows.
Yes. Well, you guys know him as John Waters. I know him as a super unfunny, quirky hack who hides behind his kitschy, campy persona to hide what isn't there.
Now, when you say we know him as John Waters and you say all that, is that how you say hello to him?
That's
how
I say. No,
look, I just say hi, John. John, like a time saver.
John Waters with a normal haircut, no facial hair, and wearing some sweatpants is just an unfunny guy.
He's just an unfunny guy in that outfit, too.
I know, but he's a rich, unfunny guy in that outfit.
But can this Raiders fan conjure his
no
name?
No way.
No.
Danny, you say no?
Just to be different from you guys, I'll go yeah.
Oh, yes? Yeah. All right, two no's and a yes.
Before it was a musical, Hairspray was a movie directed by who?
John Waters.
Thank you.
What the?
That might have been my fan.
You son of a...
Was it?
This one was straight.
You're talking to Raiders fans?
Uh-huh. Yeah, this one said that he would beat up... I remember this guy. He said he would beat up any family member of his who said he was gay.
Wow.
You know what?
Because you gotta remember, he also invented Divine, who made the most disgusting film ever.
Yeah. Damn you. All right. Wow. Bonaduce goes up one. Let's go to the next one.
Finish the name of this designer. Blank Mizrahi.
Danny?
Not a chance in the world.
Is it Isaac? Is that? I'm going to go no on this one as well.
I'm going to say he knows.
What the? Okay. Two no's, one yes. Let's hear the answer.
Finish the name of this designer. Blank Mizrahi.
Yeah, Mizrahi.
Very good.
That's the Raider fans, I know.
I might be officially out of this competition.
T goes down 0-2. Danny 2-0. 1-1 for the Ace Man. And let's go to our next question.
In which city would you find the Versace Mansion?
Doesn't know.
I didn't like the way Bill asked it. His V sounded like a B to me.
Well, either way, in which city would you find the Versace
Can I ask a question?
Mansion, yes.
Is South Beach and Miami acceptable or just South Beach?
Well, that's interesting, because you said city, because if he said Florida, I would probably take it. If he said any city in Florida, I would go along with
it. Then he knows.
Then he knows.
He knows.
Knows it's in Florida.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I don't think he knows.
Blood and guts all over a stairway, that guy knows.
So we can, first rule that if he says Miami, or he says South Beach, or just about any, Orlando.
Yep.
We'll go with
great.
It.
Great.
You're taking any city in Florida?
I'm not doing anything. I'm doing what the boss says, and it happens to be working out in my favor.
I'll go along with that, because I don't know if he's in South Beach or Miami or where the hell the Versace Mansion was.
It's definitely South Beach, but I'm not sure the South Beach isn't in Miami.
Oh, maybe it
is. South Beach is in the city of Miami.
Oh, okay. So, all right. We'll accept Miami, but will we accept any city?
I would say just accept Miami. That's the answer.
Ooh. That's a point.
Okay. So let's just say the answer must be Miami, Danny.
Or South Beach.
Or South Beach. You're sticking with it.
Yeah,
knows.
Still knows.
T?
Doesn't know.
I go doesn't know as well.
I say knows and knows the guy who killed him.
In which city would you find the Versace Mansion?
New York.
That's my Raider fan.
There you go. Got me on that one.
I think the guy's name was Andrew
Cunanan. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're the sick ones.
Okay, so now...
He killed himself in a houseboat.
T.
Yep.
1-2.
Yep.
Danny, 2-1. Ace Man, 2-1. Let us continue.
Which country are ABBA from?
ABBA. Where's ABBA from, T?
I need to play strategically, so first I need to know what you guys are answering. I'm down.
I understand.
I don't know if I'm right, because there are a bunch of Nords, but I don't know if they come from Sweden or not.
I would say
Sweden is where they're from.
Sweden, I'm not positive. I'm like, what the? No, he's not going to know. He's going to say something stupid.
I say maybe. T?
No.
Almost tricked her. I say no as well.
Even if he knows, he won't cop to knowing.
I think he knows.
So we all three, two go no, and no's is no's. Yeah, that's where the confusion was. Yeah. All right, so Danny and I go no, doesn't know. T goes does know. Let's hear the answer.
Which country are ABBA from? Right, Sweden.
Yes, I'm back.
Wow. It's great to see your people celebrate so much over so little to my people. It's kind of nice. You know, it's like, I guess, when you give a kid something shiny and they really get a kick out of it. All right, where was I? It's like being poor again, living through you two. It's awesome.
I really enjoy $20. I really do. No, you don't have that pleasure anymore.
No kidding. No, I still feel the sting when I give it away, though.
Yeah, no, me too.
All right, so now, the hell are we? T, we all tied up? Yeah. We're all 2-2?
I don't even understand the next question.
We're all 2-2. Let's hear the next question.
Where is the Castro District?
Oh, no.
The Castro District.
Wait, except Havana?
let's see. Now, the next question is a tiebreaker. Yes, Mike?
Yeah.
So this question could decide it all. The tiebreaker could. I'm trying to think if we should tease out here. Let's tease out here. Where is the Castro District? Now, T, you're the honorary mayor of the Castro District, right?
So
you know it well. But do they know? Now,
they're Raiders fans.
So they're, as the crow flies, if you're from Oakland, you're 10 miles from the Castro District. How far are you from the Castro District in Oakland? Not far at all, right? A bridge away?
Yeah,
12 miles at most.
We will,
I think on that picture, part of me is actually in the Castro District.
Bald Brian has made that drunken pilgrimage many times from Oakland to the Castro District. Using only his thumb, not only for transportation, but beyond.
But floaties.
We'll take ourselves a break. The conclusion of Reverse Gay Walking next.
To the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, an appropriate song for Reverse Gay Walking. Pre-op, board-op Bill was down at Camacho's. He spoke to Raiders fans. He asked them gay questions. Had some surprising answers thus far. It's all tied up, 2-2. We go into the last question. Let's hear it again, Bald Brian.
Where is the Castro District?
Thoughts, T.
Where are you guys going?
To the Castro District. No, what's your answer?
This one's really tough because of the Bay Area connection.
Now, again, to Teresa, because of her heritage, this is like $40, but the year is 1841.
Right.
You understand?
And they're gold pieces.
Yeah. I mean, this is a lot of money to Teresa.
I say he...
Make me some juice.
Wow. Okay. You guys go first.
Danny, what do you think?
I'll say who knows.
You say he knows.
He knows.
He's a Raider. I mean, I don't know anything about the sport, but I know if they know where the sport is played, they may have heard of the Castro District.
Okay. He says knows. Let's see. I'll say doesn't know. He's an Oakland fan, but he's out here, and he's probably one left behind from when the Raiders were out in Los Angeles. So I don't think he's from Oakland. I don't think he made the pilgrimage down to Camacho's in order to watch an Oakland game on TV. I say doesn't know. Danny says does know. T?
I'll say he does not know.
Two does not. One does. If he does know, Danny walks with the money. If he does not, T and I go into a tiebreaker. Answer.
Where is the Castro District?
F***ing Cuba, Holmes.
Just burn the money in shame right now. I asked if we'd accept Havana.
I know.
And he threw in the F-bomb.
He threw in the Holmes and he dropped an F-bomb. Let's hear that answer one more time.
Where is the Castro District?
F***ing Cuba, Holmes.
That's a Raiders fan.
I think I actually know that guy.
I hate to say it because I loathe the Patriots, but everyone just close your eyes and picture the average IQ of a New England Patriots fan. And
yes, hello. My name is
IQ of an Oakland Raiders fan. Double? What? Triple? What do you think it might be?
Maybe double. But what
so
would
from
you
the mid 60s up until like the 30s? Yeah, something like that. All right.
But what would you do with a New England fan?
We'd make
see who could hold lighters under our hands longest, and I won. I had a great time.
All right. Well, Danny, you have a good time watching me and T battle. over the $40. Teresa?
Yeah.
It's now time for the tiebreaker, Missy.
Right. If you had to go gay, would you rather be with Danny or Adam?
The standard Danny or Adam going gay question.
Wow.
No, usually it's like questions for chicks, and you always win.
Well, I won with the Kardashian twins or triplets. T,
it's hard
what do you
to get
think?
Into the mind of a straight man as it is, but...
But a straight Oakland's right, because they don't have minds. It's really the that's the difficulty.
Wow, because when I think I'm trying to get in their mind, who would you want to whisper sweet nothings to you?
Well, on the other hand, you know, it's the Adam Carolla show. On the other hand, Bonaducci's up there doing push-ups with the Lykettes on his back.
Yeah.
While setting fire to my clothes in the back room with the soda guy.
Right.
I'm waiting.
But the thing is, you're like A&E.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that watch Dancing with the Stars will still tell people their favorite channel is A&E. You're very bright. People want to say they really dig you no matter what I do. I'm sure they do love you. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure most people would like to say, oh, no, I'm really attracted to Adam. He's so clever. That kind of thing. It's got a panache to it.
But this guy could be an A&E hole, and he might not go along that way. I'll tell you what, T.
Yeah?
I want you to think about it.
Okay.
We'll take a break.
Wow.
The longest 5 minutes of your life.
Let me whisper one sweet nothing to you, and then this will help you make a decision.
Okay.
Hey, feel like doing it?
Wow. Never again, actually.
We'll be back with the tiebreaker of reverse gay walking next. Born to be alive, baby. Well, T.
Yep.
Possibly the biggest decision for one of your people. It could make tiebreaker. Let's hear the tiebreaker question one more time.
If you had to go gay, would you rather be with Danny or Adam?
All right, that's pre-op Bill talking to the good fellas over at Camacho's.
I have opinions, but I will keep them to myself since I'm not in.
T, you're going to let me go.
Yeah.
Danny or Adam. Oh, for Christ's sake. I hate you.
I'm really sure.
You know, my grandfather was one of your people, so I have some of this in me. I'm going to say Danny.
Okay, so you have to take the other side, Cousin.
I'll take Adam.
You know why he's going to take Adam? Because here's the compliment I get every day. Dude, you are great on Adam. You are great on Adam Carolla. You are great. It's always Adam Carolla. So that he's going to say the name that pops into his head no matter what he thinks. He's going to say Adam Carolla.
He wants to be great on me, too. So it's it Danny. Is it Adam? If he picks
Adam.
Danny, I win. If he picks me, I lose. Answer, please.
If you had to go gay, would you rather be with Danny or Adam?
Danny, because he wants it.
Yeah!
Wow.
Yeah. Gay walking.
You are gay. Giving the money away.
Woo! Hell yeah!
Feels good, doesn't it?
Feels good to see you lose for a change.
I know, just think if she had any more money saved up from winning these, she could have those horns removed.
I use it to buy wax for my tail.
Say hi to the king, your people, Harvey Levin.
I will.
We'll take ourselves an extendo break. I want to thank Dana Gould, Tommy Lasorda, and, of course, our own Teresa Strasser. A little bit lighter in the wallet. TMZ tonight. Check your local listings. I never miss it. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
All the teachers hate him and he likes to fight a lot.